This is PFW in Progress.
What they bring us today, you're going to fit in real good. You'll learn the rules. It's all up to you. I can be a good guy, or I can be one real mean son bitch. It's all up to you.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Them clothes got laundry numbers on them. You remember your number and always wear the ones that has your number. Any man forgets his number, spends the night in the box. These here spoons you keep with you. Any man loses his spoon, spends the night in the box. No playing grab ass or fighting in the building. You got a grudge against another man, you fight him Saturday afternoon. Any man playing grab ass or fighting in the building spends the night in the box. Any man don't bring back his empty pop bottle spends the night in the box. Any man loud talking spends the night in the box. You got questions? You come to me.
Paul Perillo.
Hell, I seen him eat 10 chocolate bars and 7 cold drinks in 15 minutes. He can eat busted bottles and rusty nails, any damn thing.
I can eat 50 eggs.
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
You just said he could eat anything.
My boss says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm shaking it here, boss. I'm shaking it.
Andy Hart.
We going by my house, we going to have a big meal. Then I'm going to show you a couple of farm girls that really knows what fun.
Some guy named Tom.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants. Well, he gets.
PFW in Progress.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Is that a new one, Gary?
I
think that might be the first time I've heard that.
It's not.
Not surprisingly, I'm eating in the my portion of the open because that's what Gary does in every one of my opens. Anyway, we have a cast of thousands for you today in PFW.
That was
pre-Lori,
so we didn't have anything for her in there either.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So it's old. But Lori is here. She is one of the cast of thousands.
Howdy. Thanks, Gary. Keep it clean.
Paul Perillo and Tom Casale, along with some newbies to the show here.
Hey.
But first.
Do that. We do. Gary.
We have a couple of newcomers to our staff for the summer, at least, and for in one case, in Kyle Pasady's case. Is that good?
That's right. How you guys doing?
All right. Kyle is with us for the season, hopefully, the entire season, you know, unless we decide to put him on waivers or something, and, you know, after week 3. That could happen.
Right.
I've got the giggles.
No, he's just playing with me.
And we also have Elizabeth Proper.
Hello.
Is that the proper pronunciation?
Yes, it
See
is.
What I did there, Tom?
Yeah, that was a good one.
I'll bet she's never heard any plays on proper.
That's got Andy Hart written all over
Absolutely.
It. Absolutely.
We have five different gag lines written for that.
And he'd laugh every time he said it.
And he'd be the only one. Except for when you laugh to encourage him. That's why I get
funny,
mad at you.
I gotta give him that. He is funny.
Anyway, Elizabeth will be with us for training camp, and she's going to help us on the website trying to get some player profiles up for us and some extra
Dan
content for training camp. So I'm sure that the listeners, all 12 of you, why did I have to go and do that, Gary? No, we're definitely going to have an increased presence at training camp this year in addition to Kyle and Elizabeth's work. We'll have the regular PFW in Progress stuff that you've grown to hate over the years. And also, podcasts for training camp will be introduced this year. So, Mrs. B, if you're listening, you can tell us that you told us so. You were doing them last year. We're so yesterday now. I mean, I know this is all old hat for you, but we'll be doing a podcast every day as well.
But we should tell the listeners I'm not going anywhere. I will still be here. So Joey Feep, you can still not listen to the show.
Right, Joey Feep, you have not gotten your wish. Tom Casale is still here.
I do.
Joey Feep.
I know
has boycotted the show.
I know he's still listening. I know he's still listening. So
anyway, PFW in Progress, definite summer edition here. Fred Kirsch is not with us this week. He is actually doing some work elsewhere. He's in D.C. For some meetings. Andy Hart
is doing no work anywhere.
I'm not really sure that he still works for the organization at all. But I'm
took
not
a six-month vacation.
Must
I mean,
be nice.
No, I haven't seen him in
yeah,
literally.
He gets on me all the time about that.
Literally, Gary, I haven't seen him in years. I really
don't
know.
I've gone more than you, Gary. I do.
Anyway.
I had that much vacation.
He's not here. But at some point, we might be joined by Brian Lowe the world's biggest ego, will be joining us here on PFW in Progress. And maybe even Eric will be coming down.
Make sure you tell your friends you
Eric
heard
might
it
come down.
I only have five
Eric
microphones. Scalavino.
Yeah, I know. It'll be, you know, a little mix and match.
Lori's just stopping by.
And by all means, I'll take the rest of the show off because, you know, it is the middle of July, and that's what I do in July. I might have a better gig to get to.
Like what?
I don't know.
You are pretty famous these days.
I have many leather-bound books.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
That one never gets old, G. Anyway, as always, the best way to join in our inane discussion, webradio@patriots.com. Again, webradio@patriots.com, and it's nice to see, even though it's the middle of July, Tom, and kind of that dead period between minicamp and training camp, a lot of pre-mails in.
It's never a dead period for Patriots fans.
That's very well put right there. Are you trying to ingratiate yourself with Joey Feep now?
Hey, me and Joey Feep are like that. We just have some differences in opinions when it comes to D'Angelo Williams. I think that's the one that put him over the edge, wasn't it?
You do.
The D'Angelo Williams.
What did you say?
Huh?
What did you say?
During draft day, I just said I like D'Angelo Williams a little bit better than Lawrence Maroney, and Joey Feep decided he doesn't want to listen to my garbage anymore.
But you've kind of come around on Maroney. You're high on Maroney as well.
I like Maroney, too.
Anyway, so you can send the emails to webradio@patriots.com, or Gary gets lonely inside the studio over there, so you can give him a call at 508-543-7482. We might even give a call to Ken Flanders a little bit later, just to see what's going on. Just so you know, Gary, he was in his office as I walked by.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders.
So we might call just to bust his chops for a little while, because that's what we do. And like we said, special treat. Might have Brian Lowe of Patriots Video News, stepping in, filling in a little bit. They are working on a show today, so
I don't think this has anything to
his
do with
availability
that.
Might be spot. Low. But Lori,
hey.
Patriots today also.
Every day during training camp.
Every day during training camp, but usually tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Thursdays in the off season. What anything special you guys are working on, you and Eric?
Nope, we're just preparing for training camp, so every time we have a practice, we can cover that. And we're going to have some good old pro shop deals going on tomorrow. We had some actors there that posed
for
the catalog.
We had some
celebrities around Gillette Stadium in the last couple of weeks. Was it yesterday? Yesterday, Lenny Clark, in Boston. Lenny Clark was here.
Good guy.
Lori liked him. Now, Maura, who works in our graphics department for Patriots Football Weekly, and you know how Maura can be.
Oh, we know.
She just hates him.
Yeah.
Well,
and doesn't use as much more colorful language to describe her hatred. What'd you say?
Ow, can you hate
Lenny? He was very rude to her last year.
He threw a jersey at her. I mean, she has every right to hate him. He was nice to me, though. So.
I would reserve judgment if I actually had witnessed it, because I know how Maura can be. You know, Maura hates a local restaurant because the waitress referred to her as ma'am.
Hey, she's a loyal person.
Just
know?
Telling you.
Who the hell's Lenny Clark?
He was
Rescue
on,
Me?
Rescue Me, yeah.
Oh,
Uncle
right.
Teddy.
Uncle Teddy is in jail. He killed, who did he kill?
He killed the drunk driver that killed
I knew the name sounded familiar.
He was on The Job. Remember The Job with Dennis Leary? And he had that very short-lived bad sitcom. I forget the name of it, but his...
I know what you're talking about.
Did you see Rescue Me last night?
No, I didn't, but I saw it a couple of weeks ago. It was very disturbing. You see when Dennis Leary with his ex-wife, that
she returned the favor last night.
Oh, boy, that was not a good scene. Paul was very glad that Beth was asleep at that time, because I would never have been allowed to watch that show again either. Not that I'm, whipped or anything.
Right.
But we were talking before the show about, and the listeners love when we talk about pop culture, I know, because they always, like to write in and tell us to talk about Patriot stuff, so.
Okay, Willie Andrews. Next.
All right. Yeah, all right. That's good, G. The news of the day, right? Officially, we have one draft pick signed. Unofficially, we have another signed. But Willie Andrews, seventh-round pick out of Baylor, agreed to a 4-year deal. Patriots announced that yesterday. And various reports around, Pro Football Talk is one place I saw it. Dan Stevenson, the sixth-round pick out of Notre Dame, guard, also has reportedly agreed to terms, although that has not been officially announced by the team yet. And as soon as it is, we'll have that up on Patriots.com as well, and we'll make Kramerica do it, right?
Yeah.
Kyle will be doing
sure,
stuff like
whatever.
That.
Sure, whatever. I'll be doing that.
Yep. And the weird thing about that is being late-round draft picks, I think both guys are going to make the team. I mean, I really think both guys have a good chance of making the team.
I think that Andrews you know, it's very rare to go in and have a good feeling about a seventh-round pick making the team. Usually that's a long shot. But I have as good a feeling about Willie Andrews making the team as a seventh-round pick as any of the seventh-round picks that the Patriots have had. And they've had some that have made the team.
That's,
you know, Patrick Pass, David Givens, these guys were
seventh-round
picks.
That's mostly due to his return abilities. Right,
because yeah, well, absolutely.
They
I think
they're,
you know, and Tom's been working on the special teams preview for the training camp preview issue that'll be coming out next week. And, oh, by the way, the current issue is on newsstands now with Corey Dillon on the cover.
Looks good.
Hey, thanks. It's some redesign work done by Michelle Muse and Maura O'Brien and Donnie Richmond, our graphics department, of which I had nothing to do, I like to say. That way, if anything is wrong, I can just absolve myself of all responsibility.
We just put the stories in the folder.
That's all we do. That's all we do. Before we get into this, Kyle and Elizabeth, why don't you guys kind of talk a little bit about yourselves and tell them, you know, how you ended up here. And if you worship the Patriots from afar, that probably would be a good thing to say because that's all the
of
Patriots
course,
fans care about.
Of course
about.
I worship the Patriots, Paul.
Kool-Aid sipper.
Where are you from?
I'm from Colorado originally. I know that's not a good thing around here right now. But
and who knocked the Patriots out of the playoffs last year?
Yep, the Broncos.
Wow.
I'm from New York. And
wow.
despite the fact that I tell everyone I hate all New York teams,
they still think I'm a Jets fan.
So good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, I don't
this
know.
Is a guy who rooted, by the way, rooted for the National League last night in the All-Star game just in case the Yankees get to the
World Series. I don't want
they would
have
be the visiting
advantage.
Team. That's how much he hates all the New York teams.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kyle, I interrupted
you.
No,
it's easy to end up hating New York teams when you're living in New York. I went to college at Hamilton College in upstate New York.
Right by my neck of the woods where I grew up.
Yeah, but that really solidified my Boston fanniness, I guess you could say.
You've been a Boston fan? Serious? I mean, from
seriously.
Colorado and New York, and you've kind of liked...
Yeah,
the Boston teams?
I think we got a pretty good holding on Boston fans in Colorado. And, I don't know, before the Rockies were an expansion team, you had to like some baseball team. I always liked the Red Sox. But, yeah, now I'm here finally.
All right. Excellent. And Elizabeth?
Hello. I'm from Baltimore originally. And I live in Orlando. I'm sorry?
I didn't.
I don't think I knew that.
I'm from Baltimore, born and raised there, and then I moved to West Palm Beach right before high school, but I go to school in Orlando now at University of Central Florida, and I will be a senior this
Must
year.
Must be tough going to school in Florida.
It has to be. Do you ever actually go to class? I live about 30 minutes from the beach, but that must be nice. It is nice. It's a little too hot for me. I don't like Florida.
I used to live in Florida.
My parents have
hot.
A home in
it's
Claremont.
It's too humid. In Claremont?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not too far away.
I'll be going down as soon as the Patriots... I'm sorry. As soon as the Patriots season is over, I'm going to say get knocked out of the playoffs.
Right after the Super Bowl.
Right after the Super Bowl is over, I will be going down to
good
stay for a week in the house. But
so have you always been a Patriots fan? Going a little bit more so a little bit lately, but more so lately.
More so like the last week or 10 days.
You know. Yes. That's not a bad thing. Very excited to be here, though.
So what are some of the things that you guys have done? You know, that landed you these prestigious roles within the Patriots organization?
I don't know. I think, well...
So you're telling me Fred was throwing darts in his
right.
in his
exactly,
office
as camp. Usual.
Stepped in poop and came yeah. smelling like a rose as usual. How does he do it? How does he
the
do
guy's
it?
Amazing.
He's pretty amazing, I'll give you that. No, I think, well... I was a double major in math and creative writing in college, so I think he liked that I had kind of a stats background, and he said that he thought that would make me good at learning stuff or something.
Let me ask you a question. How do you major in math? Keep in mind, I haven't taken a math course since 1991. I chose the college I went to because we weren't required to take math. I mean, I can barely use a calculator. How do you get... You love numbers? You have to love numbers? Is that what it is? Or like the formulas? I just can't comprehend like majoring in math.
Well, I think what it is that most of the time the biggest part of the grade in a math class is your homework. So as long as I put in a good effort there, get that stuff down, then I, you know, that forces me to learn it, and then I ended up with a major. Mm. But
the only thing I never understood is when they give you the problems, I'm just wondering why don't you just give me the answer? Like, why do I have to find out the answer?
They end up giving you the answer anyway.
They have a calculator.
In the back of the book.
Somebody obviously knows it.
Only the odd ones. True.
So you majored in math, now you work for the Patriots.
Well,
Fred Kirsch, ladies and gentlemen.
I did major in writing, too, though, so I can hopefully do that a little bit.
So any, like, how about school newspapers, anything like that? Any beach? You cover the UCF or anything like that?
I've written for the Palm Beach Post.
What are you on, school paper?
What are you on, school paper? A little bit. I've done a little bit of the school paper. I worked for a magazine last summer in New York and a magazine in Orlando. And just kind of got some experience with that.
See, Tom, this is what you call taking care of yourself in the future. Because when these two, 5 years from now... Three years from now, you know, are in charge someplace, you know,
right,
much more prestigious than Patriots Football Weekly. They're going to be looking for a little help.
They're going to remember that nice guy, Tom Casale, who helped them out with the web updates. Right, Kyle?
They're going to remember Andy Hart constantly making fun
right
of them when he comes back. It's going to be me and you that get the jobs.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Here I am.
You're already much bigger than us. You're on calendars, for Christ's sakes.
We're writers. Really, they're going to have a video show they're going to make?
Never know.
You're on camera talent. Very temperamental.
Temperamental? Never.
You know how the on camera talent is.
You're worse than me.
But first,
oh, so,
let's turn it over to Patriots Football Weekly's Andy Hart.
Not bad.
Thanks, Lori.
It is Andy Hart. I still haven't even. Is he
exist? I told you. I don't even know.
You won't be asking that next week.
It's an enigma right now.
All right, let's get to some emails.
This is what
here
you guys always do. You change my argument and put words in my mouth.
That's Andy.
That's
classic.
Andy. We'll get to some emails here. I'm sure the listeners are eager to get into some Patriots talk, and some of the pre-mails here are good Patriots talk, and others not so much. But we'll try to get through all of them here. Leading off, let's see, who's this leading off? This is John in L.A. This is one of our newer emailers, Tom, who is really bringing a lot to the table, and I think this...
We like that.
This his he wants to talk about our write-up on Ryan Claridge.
Okay.
And he is kind of a – Claridge has been kind of a lightning rod of – I wouldn't say controversy, but –
But the fans are very interested.
Yeah,
in, you know,
he's been a point of interest because he was a fifth-round pick last year, was injured, missed the entire year, spent the season on injury reserve, but wasn't really in Foxborough
right
for his rehab. He did that mostly in Las Vegas where he went to school at UNLV. And that's kind of the gist of where people are wondering.
And the other
why
thing is they've seen guys like Tully Banta-Kane play and obviously aren't very impressed. So they haven't seen Claridge, and it's a guy that they're thinking maybe, you know, maybe this guy is the guy who's going to provide some quality depth at the linebacker position.
And unfortunately, we just don't know because we haven't
right
seen him play. Now, we can infer by the fact that we haven't seen him play much, like even in minicamp and whatnot, that he probably isn't that high up the depth chart, otherwise he would have been getting more reps. But, I mean, that's a guess. Obviously, Bill Belichick's not going to come out and say, oh, yeah, well,
right,
he has no chance. Anyway, Kyle, I think that you wrote a portion of that.
Yeah.
And was that your first post?
Yeah, that was my first post.
Okay, so look at that. You're generating all kinds of controversy already. I'll have to inform Fred to make sure you tone it down a little bit. Anyway, this is basically Claridge's rookie season. Not only was he injured last year, he rehabbed in Las Vegas for personal reasons. He wasn't around the team enough to learn the system. That was Kyle's writing on Monday, I believe.
Yeah.
Yesterday it was posted.
Okay. It was posted yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was yesterday. And John read this over and over and during the 2005 campaign and throughout the offseason, and he's never really understood the fact of why the following question has gone unanswered. Honestly, it hasn't really even been raised before, as far as I know. Why was Claridge not rehabbing in Foxborough? Well, first of all, this question has
been raised many
times.
Yeah.
And we did a piece with Claridge recently, I think, I want to say 2 issues ago.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been the May issue.
It was definitely 2 issues ago.
And he felt more comfortable. The team thought it was a good idea because he had a shoulder problem while in college.
Mm-hmm.
And he rehabbed that in Las Vegas. And they felt like that went well, so
right. They
wanted to stick with it. Now, there also may or may not have been an issue, a family issue, with his brother Travis, who obviously all our listeners know died in the off season. I'm not sure if that played a role in it or not. He is from Michigan, not
right,
from
yeah,
Las Vegas.
Right, his family lives in Michigan, so I think that
But I'm not sure if this had anything to do with his decision to be away from the team or not. I think we can all agree that it wasn't the best thing for him in terms of his development
don't you find it
to be away from
a little
the team.
Weird considering guys like Gus Scott and Ben Watson who were injured were here. We you know, you've seen them carrying playbooks around. They were going to meetings. And it just Belichick usually doesn't make special rules for people, especially if they're rookies. It's odd to me that
That's why I wonder if there was a family issue. And I asked about this with some people within the organization, not Bill, obviously, but and I was given kind of a roundabout. There's a story there that I'm not at liberty to tell. Basically, was you know I'm paraphrasing, but that's
it
basically the response
personal.
We got. That's
yes,
why I think
it
might have something to do with his brother,
right.
Who obviously was dealing with. Some issues that, you know, ultimately, tragically, ended his life.
I just feel if Gus Scott wanted to rehab in Miami, Bill would have said, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you know, Miami, that's different. Well, no, Vegas.
It's Vegas.
Yeah, I can't really argue with you there.
Hi, this is Ty Law. Welcome
all
to
right.
Miami.
The remainder of the email, doesn't it seem like it would have been beneficial for him to at least been in meetings, getting to know the system a bit, being acclimated to the team, the area, the organization? It seems very strange to me that we would just punt even the tiniest degree of development and allow/have a kid rehab somewhere away from the team. And we all agree on that.
Yeah.
We just addressed that. This isn't a seventh-round flyer we took on a never-going-to-make-it quarterback. This was a mid-round selection of a linebacker, a spot where we desperately need youth to develop as soon as possible. You can't tell me we wouldn't have been better served having Claridge stick around and go through meetings, Fillmore, just general team stuff. I don't get it. My best guess is that it had something to do with his late brother Travis, though that's just wild conjecture. If it's appropriate, could you guys discuss what it seems like an unusual situation that has gotten minimal coverage? And I think we did the
reason why it's gotten minimal coverage, because if you ask Bill, he's not going to say anything about it. He's not going to divulge any information to the media. And I believe I was at a press conference where they did ask, and
we talked to Ryan himself about it. And you know, basically what he said was the part about being comfortable there, and the team felt that the first rehab went well in Las Vegas, so they decided to do it again. Now, that's the extent of it. I mean, all you can do is ask the questions.
Right.
The only part that I would disagree with John a little bit here is the value of a fifth-round pick. You know, this isn't some seventh-round flyer. Mm-hmm. Well,
right.
It's not that far away. It's a late draft
pick.
It's a fifth-round pick. I'm not dismissing draft picks. Obviously, you want them all to make your team or you want them all to contribute. But Dan Copen was a fifth-round pick. That's the rarity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
More often, the rule is generally Dave Stachelski and Hakeem Akbar and Jeff Marriott. I mean, just to rattle off some fifth-round picks for the Patriots in the Belichick era off the top of my head that never made it out of training camp. I mean, Dan Copen, that's what made that a special pick is that he ended up being a starter as a fifth-round pick. I think that was impressive. I just don't think that every fifth-round pick is expected to make your team. I don't know how you guys feel about
no,
that.
No, I mean, it's all once you get to the second-day picks, it's hit or miss. I mean, I know they do their scouting and everything, but you're talking about guys, for one reason or another, weren't selected, you know, in the first three rounds, and there's a reason for it. Now, sometimes you hit. Sometimes you miss, and I'm with you. A fifth-round pick isn't all that different from a seventh-round pick, especially today where, you know, you see more undrafted free agents and seventh-round picks making teams just because, you know, I think there's more talent out there.
And the money, too. I mean, you have to have some young guys fill in your roster because they're cheap. You know, fifth-round pick, sixth-round pick, those guys are cheap, and you can have them under your control for limited money for the minimum of 3 years, most cases four and sometimes even more. Why not? You know, if you have a guy that can come in and contribute for you at least as a special teams player and a depth player as a sixth-round pick, you know,
well,
4 years later, you're hoping that he has maybe developed a little bit and can play.
And we were just talking before we came down about special teams, about how Ellis Hobbs returned kicks last year. Well, that's when he was a rookie. And now they're kind of counting on Hobbs to be the cornerstone at cornerback. So do you really want him returning
kicks? You wonder, yeah. And I know that Denver's going through a similar thing right now with Darren Williams.
Right.
And they're wondering about, and you know, Kyle, you know, since he's a big Broncos fan,
right.
And obviously was very happy that
probably
the Broncos
got a Darren Williams jersey.
You know, I'm sure that he has that, you know, it's one
and
of those.
Now we know if Fred brought him aboard.
Well, yeah,
oh, yeah.
Fred's a huge Broncos fan, too, even though he says he's off the Broncos.
He's off the Broncos.
He says, but yeah, he has the tightest John Elway shirt that you'll ever see.
Excellent.
He might break it out at the party.
Get off the fence.
Imagine Fred telling someone to get off
the
fence.
I know.
How ironic. Anyway, Kyle has his Darren Williams shirt on right now. It's the one, you know, with Darren Williams, the whole
name.
Yeah,
the whole name,
the whole
on, the
name
back.
On the back.
Too many Williams.
All right. The second part of John's email here is actually good food for thought here. A couple of weeks ago, he asked about the quote-unquote next generation of defensive playmakers. Let me cut right to it and hope brevity helps me get this issue on the air. On offense, we can see the playmakers who will be around for a while. Branch, Watson, Maroney, maybe David Thomas. On defense,
I don't know about Branch.
Yeah, that's true. On defense, our playmakers tend to be linebackers and cornerbacks. The defensive line is obviously very solid with a lot of youth. Harrison, Brewski, Vrabel, Colvin. Of that group, only Colvin really fits the quote-unquote next generation premise, and he's sort of on the fence age-wise.
29.
Yeah. So who are the Watsons and Branches on defense, in your view? I'd hope that Geno and Asante would be, but they were kind of disappointing last season. James Sanders, maybe?
Well, you know mine. Hobbs and Sanders are my guys. And Eric Alexander, of course.
Tom's got a lot of hope
and a long shot of Bubba Ventrone.
The day that Eric Alexander gets cut is going to be a very dark day in the Casale household.
No, but I think Hobbs, he has everything but the size. He has the attitude. He has the quickness. He has the instincts on the ball. So I think he's a guy. And Sanders, the reason I like Sanders is because Rodney Harrison went out of his way to talk about him last year and has been working with him. And what better mentor can you have than Rodney Harrison?
You do know he went out of his way to talk about Gus Scott, too, right?
I don't remember that.
Ooh, he counter.
Did. He did.
Well, Gus Scott is not.
Even before you were here.
Gus Scott is not in my future playmakers list.
I know that. That's why I bring it up.
But he's been working with Sanders, you know, because they have a similar kind of game.
I think Sanders is a guy that could fit into that category, and I certainly think Hobbs is probably number one of that young potential playmaker down the road. Unfortunately,
I think John
brings up a really good point. Linebackers are the playmakers. I mean, capital
3-4 defense, that's
and
your
they
bread
don't
and butter.
Have a young guy that I would say is a young potential playmaker. Now, we'll find out this year about guys like Alexander and whatnot, but it seems to me that the linebackers they have drafted, and it's well documented, they haven't used high picks on linebackers, but the ones that they've drafted haven't really emerged as players. Klecko, Bantakane, guys like Alexander as undrafted guys, they haven't really emerged yet, and I don't know if they're you can put the tag of playmaker on.
No, I don't think so.
All right, Justin is in Alaska. Justin is
friend of ours.
Guys, we have emailers from everywhere. In this country, outside this country, so you can't really misspeak because someone around the country is going to be listening and kill you.
Yeah, and a couple weeks ago I had mentioned how I had just picked Portugal to win the World Cup.
Oh,
someone from
God.
England emailed in and darn near wanted to kill me.
I missed.
Like I was waving a Portuguese flag around or something.
That was
funny. Portuguese?
No, I just picked them out of the blue. I just picked the team.
What do you think he is?
Look at my nose. My last name's Casale.
My
team won at Italia.
My boys won.
Yeah.
Even though I hate soccer.
The funny thing is, though, is I love how they're talking about the game, the fixing that the Italian players did in their league. Now I know Italians, and I can tell you right now they're guilty. They fixed those games. That
I
know.
I don't think there's any question that there was some fixing going on. I don't think it was necessarily by the players. It was by the teams themselves and the ownership. You know, from watching afar. Not that
gotta
I know
win,
anything.
You gotta win, right?
anything it takes to win. But anyway, Justin in Alaska was here in Foxborough about a month and a half ago or so, and he visited us at Gillette Stadium, and Fred took him on a tour, probably with the same kind of tour that he took you guys
about
on.
2 minutes.
Yeah, that's the
deal.
No, that's a seat. Anyway, right. Justin was nice enough to reward us all with some gifts. So he's one of our favorite. He shot into the Hall of Fame once. He sent in those gifts for everybody.
Excellent. What's he got to say?
Justin says, an interesting show last week. We should have more Lori visits, at least while we're in this dry spell of no football. And here's why. Here's why. Because I love hearing her accent.
Oh, no. I'm trying to fix that.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that you had one.
Oh, you gotta work on that still, man, if you're trying to fix it.
Oh, I'm trying.
All right. You guys were talking about Steve McNair last week? You weren't here.
I was on vacation.
You remember talking about Steve
Cox
McNair?
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
Gary, I don't believe we did, actually. If we did, it wasn't for a significant amount of time.
All right. Anyway, Justin thinks that McNair has had a very good career. He's a freaking machine. It didn't matter what injury he had, he played. I think he actually lost his right eyeball one game, finished the game out before going to the hospital. But I think his time is over. I'm not burying the Ravens. I'm not buying the Ravens now a legitimate contender just because they have him. Granted, McNair throwing the ball from a Craftmatic adjustable bed would be better than Kyle Bowler throwing it, but he had 24 touchdowns and 20 interceptions in the last couple of years, and he's been hurt. Am I missing the boat here, or are the Ravens just upgrading but not getting a superstar like everyone is telling me?
Well, Paul, you agree with him.
I do agree.
You hate McNair.
No, I like McNair. I just don't think the Ravens are very good.
But
I think you could put Tom Brady on the Ravens, and I don't think they necessarily are.
I think what the Ravens are looking to do is pound the football with Anderson and Jamal Lewis. That's why you bring in the veteran. Hopefully he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I don't think you're going to...
I can't believe you just said I hate Steve McNair.
No, I...
Take that back.
I was pulling an Andy Hart. I don't think they're looking for McNair to throw the ball 30 to 40 times a game. It's more that formula they used to win their Super Bowl a few years back. So, like he said, McNair throwing the ball is 100 times better than Kyle Bowler. So they're improved. I'll give them that. They're improved. Are they a Super Bowl contender? I don't know if I'd go that far. I think they have way too many coaches.
Are they a playoff team?
I think they're a playoff contender.
I think they're a playoff contender, but you have to understand, I think the way the NFL is set up now, there are probably about five teams that aren't playoff contenders.
But
we could throw San Francisco.
But you don't like the Ravens for the playoffs for the same reason I don't like the Arizona Cardinals. I don't think Kurt Warner's going to last the season. That's my whole
basis.
That's
a good point, too, and that's obviously Justin's point, too.
And McNair probably won't either, so that's going to hurt them down the road.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I'm not sold, not buying the Ravens as a big contender. And you guys can speak up and talk.
I do like Mark Clayton, the receiver, though.
I love Clayton.
They got Mike Anderson from Denver,
yeah,
too.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So see, it all comes back to the Broncos with Kyle.
Yeah.
Really,
he didn't miss that one. He didn't miss that one.
Now he's doing the Mile High Salute.
Now Kyle's going to bring up that Mike Anderson was one of three backs that were over 30 last year to rush for over 1,000 yards. And
which Elizabeth was kind enough to do a lot of the NFC research on, correct?
Right, and that's actually how a lot of my articles work, where I come up with a minimal amount of stats and Tom fills it in for me a little bit.
Is that how it works?
Well, we've only done one so far, so...
It's coming along. But...
He's got it down.
Yeah, I mean, Anderson should help.
He's relying on you for fact-checking.
Yes. Good luck.
all right, Justin has a little game he'd like to play. It's called Either Or. So it's time to choose one or the other. You can't choose neither or both.
Good thing Fred's not here.
Why? Oh, I see what you mean, yeah. Right over my head a little bit, sorry. One shot to the groin with a three-wood swung by Rodney Harrison, or Brady goes down in week two of the 06 season.
Oh, yeah. I'll
take a shot to the groin.
Today.
It's not even close.
I'll take Brady going down in week two.
It's a direct shot?
One shot to the groin with a three-wood swung by Rodney Harrison.
Are you a Patriots? Are you a Patriots fan?
Yeah, but
I'm saying, are you talking about this as a Patriots fan?
Yeah.
If you're a Patriots fan and Tom Brady goes down in week two, you can start looking at the draft.
Yeah,
you might as well take a shot in the groin.
That's fine. I'll take the pass on the 2006 season.
All right.
And, you know, still be able to procreate.
I haven't been to a Super Bowl yet, like Paul, but so I'm going to take the shot to the groin.
I'll be there with you.
I think I've been to three of them.
To
the groin.
Tom, going to the Super Bowl is a shot to the groin.
without question.
We're going to be playing the Cowboys, so it should be a good game.
I can't handle that. We've talked about this many times. I would not be able to handle that.
You would really be a media thing then.
Who?
See, Paul likes the Cowboys, but I hate the Cowboys. So.
I like Drew Bledsoe. I don't like the Cowboys. Let's get that straight. Anyway, number two, one kiss on the lips. Lori, this is nice because he writes tongue optional from Lori.
I'll take that.
Without the wife or girlfriend knowledge, or a collector's edition of Rugrats the movie. I think we'll take the kiss from Lori.
Yeah.
Really.
Big
need the Rugrats.
Well, I'm a pretty big Rugrats fan. But I'd probably
was that based in Denver? Is that why?
Well, it showed on all the color. No, I don't know.
Just for the record,
he
Paul.
He must be a big South Park fan. That's based in Denver.
Right.
That's true.
I've been to South Park. It does exist.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Who knew?
It's like a cul-de-sac.
Andy knew.
Yeah.
In Fairplay, Colorado.
Just for the record, I would take the kiss with the girlfriend or wife present.
Oh.
I'll take anything I can get.
Oh, I'll see
somebody
what
call Allison.
Ooh.
Clinton's in trouble over here.
Number three. Maroney runs for 1,200 yards after Dillon's injury in week three, or the defense sets a new team record for shutouts with five.
Maroney.
I'll take Maroney.
Go with Maroney.
Yeah.
You can't nod, Elizabeth. We're on the radio.
Elizabeth nodded yes, so she's going to take Maroney.
She nods yes, yeah. But we're on the radio.
Yes, Maroney.
We have Maroney. Kyle about 8 feet from his microphone.
I know.
And Elizabeth just nodding.
I'm sorry.
Gary, the new people aren't really working out so far. Just so you know.
Get Brian down here.
He's
Brian's,
on his way.
Brian's ego has trouble fitting through the door. All right. Number four, he has seven of these.
Okay.
Number four is a free, brand new 55-inch DLP HD TV.
I'll take
sold.
That.
Or free deluxe cable for 2 years.
I'll take the TV.
TV.
I don't even own a TV. I've got to go with the TV.
You don't have a TV?
I don't have one.
Brian Lowe doesn't have digital cable. He reveals to us yesterday in the meeting. And now Kyle...
Ooh, we living in a cave?
I mean, what's these Neanderthals?
Hey, Kyle, they have this new invention called the cell phone. You ought to try it out.
How do you watch my foolish television shows like
television?
OC?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, yeah. God.
See,
I'll take the TV.
The thing is though, I don't know Kyle that well, but I know I already know he went to Hamilton, so I feel that Kyle's probably a lot smarter than the rest of us, so he doesn't watch meaningless television.
That's a NESCAC school, right?
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's a
Williams,
that's a big
Amherst.
Battle. That's a big battle for
Williams.
Andy. Andy went to Tufts, you know.
Tufts.
That.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
He's the greatest football player ever to play at Tufts.
Really?
Yeah. They retired his jersey. They got a bust of him over there.
Oh. No kidding.
Hall of Fame?
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's the only person in the Tufts Hall of Fame.
And he had to retire when they put the testing policy in?
Yeah.
That's a cheap shot. Number five. Fred gives you a $10,000 a year raise.
I'll take that.
But you are responsible for taking him out to lunch every day, or take a 3% pay cut at your new job with the Globe.
That really bothers me. That
this is the biggest no-brainer in the history of Earth, as that commercial on EEI says.
Right.
I'll take the $10,000 raise, especially seeing as I have to get Fred lunch every day anyway.
Right.
He usually pays anyway.
And usually is a very loose term.
I thought Paul was.
In a while.
I thought Paul was going somewhere else with this. I'm working for the Globe.
Oh.
You're going to the Globe? I want no
Well, problem. Then you guys have told me that they you must have escalated what you told me that they actually pay.
It's a 3%. It says take a 3% pay cut.
What we make now?
Yeah.
Or what the Globe pays?
No.
But
what you make now?
I see. Well, no, I'm taking yours then. I thought they meant...
Basically, it's for the freedom to write, you know,
I thought
quote,
they meant
unquote,
the Globe salary taking a 3% cut.
What are you, on the school paper?
No, I'm
getting
Fred lunch.
Take the $10,000 raise, and I already get Fred lunch 3 out of 5 days a week anyway. I can handle that. Number six, a BMW 740iL. I don't know all these little jargon and lingo.
It's a BMW.
Which is yours, but you have to supply Brian Lowe with dates until he's hooked up. Or a VW Jetta and screw Brian. Did you guys talk about Pilo's sex life last week?
I would try to hook him up with somebody, you know. See if there's any female listening.
Hey, I was going to say it, but I let it go.
Those Volkswagens go for 300,000 miles. I'm taking the Jetta. Screw him. Let him get his own date.
Now, unlike the Fred Kirsch lunch that I do anyway, hooking Brian up, that's a big
right.
Job.
We're only human.
I can't.
We can only do so much in life.
I can't do that.
Brian's a nice guy. He can get a girl himself.
I mean...
Theoretically, you would think so.
Look at it this way.
Yet that hasn't worked out all that well.
Look at it this way. You're just playing odds. Me and Paul, found women. So if me and Paul found women, the chances are getting slim.
That's kind of not true, though, because I needed my sister to hook me up. So I really didn't find it. I went on a blind
date. Thanks, Lori.
So.
Well, I'm just saying,
really
we found two girls that would actually like us.
That would be true. That would be true. Number seven. No funny stuff on this one. The Patriots lose in Miami or the Patriots lose in New York?
Miami.
Well, as a Patriots fan, I have to say New York. Because Miami, theoretically, on paper, is a threat
to
win a division.
They're 11-31 lifetime there, so...
No, but what I'm saying is the Jets aren't going to contend. I just don't see the Jets contending.
Keep in mind, that's the second game of the year. And if the Patriots go and lose to the Jets in New York in week two, there's going to be widespread. We're going to have to
Who
go to.
Who cares what the panic is?
I'm just saying, we're going to have to go to the bridges and reel in the fans. Man, Genie beats Belichick in week two? My God.
That would be terrible.
Yeah, that wouldn't be pretty.
All right, Justin wraps it up. When is Asante's contract up, and do you think we'll try to re-sign him aside from Hobbs and Gay? Do we have any potential starting corners in our mix?
Smart.
Asante is up after this season.
You know I don't put Gay in that category anyway, so you got one, Hobbs.
Wow. That's it?
I think Gay is a spot starter.
Hank Poteet?
I just think Gay is a spot starter. I don't think he's a every-game, every-season starter at corner.
I agree. I don't think that Randall Gay is necessarily a... I mean, he was a starter in a pinch for you when you had no choice, but I don't think he's necessarily a guy. And I think he's...
Because he's very fragile.
He's small, and I know in height-wise, Ellis Hobbs is very small, but you look at Ellis Hobbs and Randall
Gay
side by side, there's no comparison. Hobbs is much bigger, much thicker.
No question about it.
Another one that nods to me, Lori.
Well, I was nodding to you just showing that I agreed with you. The only good thing about Gay is that he dresses like Cool Moe Dee.
That was good.
So you think they'll re-sign Samuel then?
Samuel's contract is up after the 2006 season. I think he's going to be a tough re-sign, to be honest with you.
Because the way it works here is they put a value on someone.
And here's the thing. I think that Samuel's pretty good, and I think the Patriots like him. But the problem here is he's going to have an opportunity to go out. He's going to have been at least a part-time starter with the Patriots for the better part of three seasons when he hits free agency, because he started games in the last two seasons, and he'll certainly start games this year as well.
Yeah.
That might raise his market value to a point that the Patriots aren't willing
to...
Depending on where it goes... For example, if we could use the correlation of David Gibbons.
I was just going to say, I think he's the defensive version of David Gibbons.
If that happens, I'd like to sign him more than any of you guys, but I'll say, here you go. See you later.
I think he's a number two corner that could get number one money out on the open market.
I think that could happen as well.
But you never know what could happen this season.
He could get hurt and not play very much.
Or he could do exceptionally well.
And then
that would just raise the money that he wants.
And
he's definitely gone. You just want him to play average.
Yeah, you want him to kind of fly under the radar screen, be solid for you, but maybe have two interceptions, you know, not do a ton. Because if he goes out and has like eight or nine interceptions, that's going to raise his value through the roof. Someone's going to jump all over him with a big signing bonus.
Very true.
Let's see. Doug in Blackstone with some mindless stuff. Those are my favorite emails. Guys, the first thing I would like to know is your thoughts on minicamp and the state of the Patriots. What do you feel are the team's strengths, and what areas do you feel might need to be taken care of in free agency? Tom, I'll give that one to you.
Well, that story on the web called Minicamp Recap probably would answer a lot of these questions.
You don't have to. This is why Joey Feep doesn't like you.
It's a joke.
Lori, can you get me a Diet Pepsi?
We know nobody comes to Patriots.com. That's why we got Kyle writing the stories.
Jesus.
What are you doing?
It's just trashing everybody.
Someone's got to fill in part-time for Andy Hart, or the show just wouldn't be the same. The rookies looked phenomenal. Chad Jackson looked great. Maroney showed an incredible burst. David Thomas was probably one of the most impressive people. I know Paul thought Kevin Falk looked great. Falk and Brown look like they're about 22 years old, Troy Brown. They're both in phenomenal shape. I thought Ellis Hobbs looked good out there. James Sanders got a lot of reps. I wasn't impressed with Eric Warfield. Garrett Mills is going to take some time getting adjusted to the NFL game. He's kind of switching back and forth to different positions, although he did come on as camp, you know, moved forward. The Patriots have two quarterbacks. That's it. One of them hasn't started since high school, and they have no depth at linebacker.
Ben Watson looked good, too, didn't he?
Yeah, Watson was all over the place.
Camp. Ben Watson had a huge camp.
If you projected numbers by what you saw at minicamp, he'd catch 180 balls and 35 touchdowns this year.
And a big, as Tom alluded to, both on Patriots.com and in the current issue of Patriots Football Weekly, big minicamp, a three-page spread of a recap of minicamp, Doug. So I highly recommend you checking that out when you get your issue, because I know that you're a subscriber.
And one more thing that Paul and I both noticed, and this could be something to watch for in the preseason games. Martin Gramatica seemed to kick the ball low, and he had a problem with getting kicks blocked towards the end of his career in Tampa Bay, so that's going to be something to watch for.
He even had at least one blocked in minicamp, maybe another one that we kind of couldn't tell if
right.
It kind of came off funny and we couldn't tell or not.
There's no question when it comes to leg strength which kicker has the bigger leg.
That would be the rookie without question. Doug has a few questions that make you say, If Bill Belichick couldn't say it is what it is, could he have a press conference?
It is what it is.
If yeah, Ty Law...
he could. He'd sit there and give you that look and shake his head.
That throw-up look.
He looks good.
The look like he's about to throw up. If Ty Law doesn't get the money he wants and holds out, could he feed his family? Imagine a Bentley at Wendy's drive-thru window ordering from the dollar menu. Makes you wonder. If Corey Dillon asked a member of the Patriots to put on a uniform and tackle... A member of the press, I'm sorry. To put on a uniform and tackle him, and Ted Johnson showed up, would he eat his words?
Yes. He might eat his words if Andy did it.
I don't know about that.
Well, you know how Andy likes to take on challenges. He's challenging everybody in the office. Let's give him a real challenge. Let's have him tackle Corey Dillon.
And last, if Ken Flanders and Bigfoot stood face to face, which one would be shocked if the other really existed?
Now, that's funny.
Where is Ken, anyway?
Hi. You've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Well, to be honest, at least people have claimed to see Bigfoot. Oh. No one knows where Ken Flanders is.
All right, Johnny in Maryland is, let's see, last week's show was, how do you say in your country? Eh.
Hey.
What'd you guys do? I leave 1 week, and all of a sudden our rating
just plummeted. We can't even take vacation around here.
It was a good time. You missed a good one.
But I'd rather have a show than no show, so please, no off time.
I got a feeling we'll be getting these emails next week, too.
If/when we win our fourth title in the next 2 years, do you think Belichick will retire?
No.
No.
The man lives and breathes football. If he retires, he's just going to go home. He's just going to go home in his basement and watch breakdown game film.
Right. It'd be a waste.
I think me and Paul, and I think Andy too, all agree. Kind of, we think he's going to coach for a while, then maybe do some stuff for the Naval Academy. Don't you think, Paul?
That
he could do
be
like,
surprised.
You know, some.
I could also see him doing some stuff with, you know, his kids are getting older too. I know he has one in college. His daughter Amanda is at Westland. And I believe one of his sons, I'm not sure which one, so I won't even guess, is into high school in lacrosse, I believe. And Bill actually played lacrosse, as everybody knows, in high school and in college, prep school and whatnot. I could see him coaching like his son in lacrosse. I could see him doing, because he just loves
the strategy
of the game more than anything else. You know, obviously... All this other ancillary stuff that he has to do, it is what it is, and all that crap, he hates.
He hates press conferences. He wants to be around, breaking down film.
He wants to have, you know, some kind of film to watch, some kind of scheme to devise.
Right.
He's an innovator, and he wants to do, I think that's what he wants to do. So I wouldn't be shocked if he stepped away within the next 3 years. I wouldn't be shocked at all. And I remember, and we tell this story all the time, but... About 3 years ago, there was a rumor that Marv Levy was interested in returning to coach. And now we know he's since returned to be the GM, or at least the de facto GM for the Bills.
Why? We have no idea.
You know, he's approaching his 80s at the time. And someone asked him, you know, when this rumor was out, kind of innocuously at a press conference, could you see yourself coaching at Marv Levy's age? And the question wasn't even out of the questioner's mouth when he immediately said, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So it led me to believe that, you know, he's in his 50s now, Bill. You know, I think, was he 53 or 54? He's, you know, somewhere in that
he's
neighborhood.
Pretty young for a coach.
Yeah, but it led me to believe that he is not here for the next 10
right.
years. You know, I don't see that.
So happening. Do you think, you know, Parcells tries to get away, then he gets the itch, he's got to come back. Do you think when Belichick calls it quits, it's going to be for good? He's going to walk away.
Well,
and
how do you know when a guy calls it quits for the first time if he's going to get that itch?
Yeah, he might miss it.
You know, now it's easy to say, well, Parcells, you know, well, he quit for now because he's come back 3 times.
Right.
But who knows if, you know.
A lot of people do that.
But don't you think it's hard?
I would have never guessed Dick Vermeil for a guy who had gotten the itch and come back.
But
never would have guessed he would
come back. Guys like Gibbs who even take all that, it seems like they love the game so much at some point they can't stand being away from it.
It's a good point.
I could see Belichick doing more, maybe something like that rather than a Parcells coming back every 2 years, maybe taking 8 years off and then thinking, boy, I'm still relatively young. Maybe I want to give it one more shot.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know exactly what Belichick's mindset would be on that. I just don't see him. If I had to put an over-under on it, and Tom and I, you guys will find out, like to gamble. If I had to put an over-under on it, I would say less. I would take the under of 5 years.
I would agree.
I'm going to go with 6.
Then you would have the over.
Yes.
That's how it works.
Yep.
Okay. All right. We'll take this one from Eric in New Hampshire. No, I'm sorry. He's in South Florida. So Elizabeth's
hey, yeah, next to the woods.
But he grew up in New Hampshire. We'll take this one, G, and then we'll hit a break. He just wanted to pass along an item in Vic Carucci's Tuesday huddle on NFL.com, NFL.com, as they say it, at NFL.com. I'm a big Adam Vinatieri fan, but I have faith that rookie Steve Gostkowski will adequately fill the role that arguably the greatest clutch kicker in NFL history once occupied for the Patriots.
Can you say that again? The name.
No. Why are we getting stuff deleted?
Gostkowski.
I'm so bad at saying that.
Is it? It's
Gostkowski.
Gostkowski.
Thought it was Gostkowski.
No, it's a K.
The T is right. Silent.
The T is silent. The K is not.
Okay. Yeah, Gostkowski.
How did that get deleted?
Or I've been saying
it
wrong.
I was reading it. Why are you doing that?
Because you were done with it.
No, then they wanted me to repeat it though.
Just the name.
And I didn't have it.
Just the name.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that.
Gostkowski.
So wait. Now, Vic Carucci is saying this, or the emailer is saying this?
Vic Carucci. It was an item from Vic Carucci that he...
Well, once again, to get back to the special teams thing, that I was right, and I was just doing the special teams overview, and I was just thinking, wow, the Patriots are relying on a lot of rookies. And then my mind just started going, like, with the kicker. They need Gostkowski to come in and kick relatively well, because if they don't, ask the Cowboys what happens when you have a revolving door at kicker all year. It's
it
a tough situation.
It can definitely be a mental stumbling block
and
for a team.
We don't really like to talk about kickers a lot because, you know, they're kickers, but he's really one of the most important players heading into training camp. He really has to come in and grab that job and do well with it, or the Patriots could be in some trouble this year come October when they're searching for kickers.
I agree.
And if you listen to the podcast from last week, we had Eric Scalvino break that down, him and Gramatica.
Who, unlike Fred Kirsch, who pretends to be a kicking expert, Eric actually is a kicking expert.
Hey, Bob! You're a loser!
At the college level.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Huh. He talks about kicking.
Fred, my alma mater, as a matter of fact.
And to be fair to Fred, he pretends to be a lot of things.
That's true. Which is a good time, G, to step aside. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
Spend Friday night under the lights at Gillette Stadium as Taylor Twellman, Clint Dempsey, and the rest of your New England Revolution take on Real Salt Lake on July 14th at 7:30. Bring your camera and get to Gillette Stadium early for Disney night. Enjoy many Disney-themed activities, and the first 2,000 kids through the gates will get a free set of Mickey Mouse ears. Check out the interactive theme park soccer celebration free 2 hours before the game. To order tickets, call 1-877 get revs and ask about the special family four pack. This package includes tickets, four slices of pizza or hot dogs, and four medium sodas for just $69. That's a $20 savings. Plus, free parking makes New England Revolution soccer an affordable, fun night for the whole family. To take advantage of this great offer, call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877 get revs or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Touchdown! Tom Brady launches a 60-yard!
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Wednesday, July 19th at 7:30, the Fields of Athenry come to Gillette Stadium with the boys from Scotland. Welcome the newly crowned Scottish Premier League title holder Celtic Football Club as they face off against your New England Revolution. The World Cup might be over, but the World's Game heats up in Foxborough as Celtic stars Aidan McGeady and Sean Maloney go up against Taylor Twellman.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman!
Clint Dempsey.
Diving header by Dempsey!
Matt Reese.
Great save by Matt Reese!
And the rest of the Reds. Don't miss Celtic Football Club's first appearance in the Boston area in 30 years as they prepare for the upcoming UEFA Champions League season. Tickets are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS to find out about special group discounts and free parking. This is a match you won't want to miss. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your tickets now.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, wait. Was he a great big fat person?
Paul Perillo.
Why don't you ask me about Buffalo Bill?
You should come here. You can do this damn radio show.
Buffalo Bill. What a naughty boy he is. Do you know why he's called Buffalo Bill? Please tell me.
Very excited to be a Dallas Cowboy.
And Andy. And Andy?
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Andy Hart.
Now it places the lotion in the basket. It places the lotion in the basket. What the f***? Lotion in the basket!
Some guy named Tom.
Oh, he's a monster. Pure cipher. So rare to capture one alive. From a research point of view, our most prized asset.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Was she a large girl?
Yes.
Big for the hips? Romy, what else?
She had an object deliberately inserted into her throat.
PFW in progress.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
So getting it.
Yeah, I just want to know. Just want you to say that was Gary, not me, not
Gary
Andy.
Gary always does it.
Not Tom.
Not nice.
Gary.
You know I take mental note of all these things.
What about mental? What?
I never bother you. I've only said one thing to you. Are you mental?
That Gary.
Yeah, but the one thing that you said may have surpassed anything that Andy and I have said. that was out of line.
He's being good.
Okay.
I was just interested. Give me a percentage, ballpark. I don't know.
Well, judging from the,
I didn't know if that was still a big deal. I mean, a few years, like 10 years ago.
Not a big deal for me.
No, I mean, I know 10 years ago, a lot of people were getting it done. I thought it kind of curved off. You know, I was more interested in
Tom asking as a reporter.
Yeah,
he just needed the information. You know. Well, anyway, judging by that circus music in the background, you can tell the PFW in progress has indeed returned. Right, Lori?
We're back.
And we're back. Minus Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo and Tom Casale, Lori Baranski, Kyle.
I forgot his last name. I saw the wheels turning over there when you said his name.
You say Pasady, I say Pasady, but Pasady I went with. And Elizabeth Proper, our two newbies. And with the newbies, Kyle and Elizabeth in mind, I'm going to go to Dan Heffron.
Now, is he the Night Before Christmas guy?
Yes, he is. He is probably our most impressive email.
Yeah.
He has a lot of time on his hands. I don't know where
he remembers everything
stuff.
That's
he
ever been
said. He remembers every detail of the show.
Maybe he gets it in podcast form.
From the start. He was doing this before
podcasts.
He goes back long before podcasts. But anyway, Dan has his top 10 reasons that the newbies were hired. And he says, I majored in math, and I would love to work for the Patriots.
What number is that, 10?
Well, no, it's just this isn't the top 10 yet. Here are the top 10 things I am guessing the newbies did that Fred saw in them and decided to hire them.
Oh, boy.
This one won't be quite as good because Fred isn't here, but I am trying anyway. Number 10, they called Dat Wen Matt Nguyen, which Fred did.
Fred did that.
So he no longer feels like he's the only one who did that. 9, they can sing the Michigan fight song better than Frank the Tank. Then again, anybody could do that.
I wasn't here for that either, so.
Well, this is
hail to the victorious valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail to Michigan. The leaders and the best. You honestly have never second heard verse. This song, have you?
I've never heard this song.
Hail to the victors, valiant.
Frank the Tank never heard that song?
It gets worse.
Hail to Michigan.
Okay, that's so much easier.
That is so gay. Now, Frank the Tank lost a bet with Jennifer in Illinois, who's a huge Michigan fan, and had to sing the Michigan fight song when he lost the bet. Who doesn't know at least,
right.
like, you know, the
Hail
tune?
To
you know,
the
all right, maybe you don't know the word.
Right.
Not everybody knows the word, but the tune, I mean, you know, it's only the most common college theme song that you could ever possibly
right.
come up to, college fight song. Here's where it gets worse. He never heard the song. He went to Minnesota. He's in the Big Ten and never heard the Michigan fight song.
Well, I know one thing. It's been a long, long... Well, they recently beat him, but it was a long time before Minnesota
beat
Michigan.
That song should be
so
ingrained in his
I'm
brain.
I'm pretty sure they played that song over and over again for many years when Frank the Tank was
it
there.
It was a low point for Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank was your predecessor, by the way, Kyle. He was the intern 2 years ago. Last year, Fred decided, we're just not going to get one.
So he hired me.
Judging by that gal, who is Jen, by the way. Let's see. Number 8, they agreed to join him for roast beef and lobster on Thanksgiving last year. I don't get that one.
Fred doesn't eat turkey on Thanksgiving. We had a discussion
true?
About that. Remember, he made a
really?
Big thing. Why do you got to eat turkey? What's the big deal? And then we said, what do you eat? And I remember he said lobster. And then we all said, well, we don't have that kind of money, Fred. Fred's eating steak and lobster on Thanksgiving.
I would if anybody would do it with me.
Right.
I don't really go for turkey all that much. Anyway, number 7, they don't believe in Paul's football viewing rules either, or his refusal to shop at Walmart, or his refusal to boo Johnny Damon. Taking a lot of shots at me in that one.
I liked that one.
6, they showed him how to change the channel on his cable box so he doesn't have to call the cable company to change the channel every time.
During the wintertime, Fred's cable box got frozen. And this was during Thanksgiving, like when the football games were on and stuff.
Oh,
so he couldn't change the channel himself. So every time he wanted to change it, he had to call the cable company and have them do it for
him.
Every time?
Every time. Oh, my God.
Sometimes I think Fred exaggerates on those stories.
That is still
but that
funny.
Was still a funny
yeah.
story. 5, they bought Fred the mini bike he always wanted for Christmas when his parents only gave him a tennis racket. We had a Christmas show 1 year. We were talking about our favorite Christmas gifts. And, you know, we wasted a good half hour, 45 minutes talking about it. And then we wondered, what was the most disappointed that you ever was when you really thought you were getting something and you didn't get it? And that was Fred just went on a tirade about this mini bike that he thought for sure he was getting, and he ended up getting a tennis racket.
Now he's one of the best
Now he's one of the best amateur tennis players
50.
in Rentham, Massachusetts, over the age of 45. Let's see. 4, they bought Patriots United, so there is no shame on them. That's the book from the first Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that Fred wrote, right?
Well, Fred and Brian Morey, who was my predecessor. Actually wrote it. They cut me out, so I'm a little bitter about Patriots United, so I don't really
they
talk about
They were giving
it
away, too, if you signed up for a character.
They could. They can give
Well, they only sold 8 of them.
You signed up for what? A haircut?
A credit card.
Oh. Credit card, haircut, same thing. Elizabeth nods. 3, they do squats as their workout. Fred respects squats.
It's too bad Andy wasn't here, because he'd be laughing so hard right now.
Because, well, Andy would say, well, yeah, when Fred's doing his squats with
right.
that big boobed woman, he's always...
Andy's got an ongoing joke that at the gym, Fred keeps helping out the same blonde girl do squats.
You know, speaking of boob jobs, who has the big boobs that Andy always makes fun of Fred for? And Fred has no idea who he's talking
right.
about. 2, one of them kidnapped Fred's wife to see if she had a gusto.
What?
One of them kidnapped Fred's wife to see if he had enough guts to hire them. Tom, you can explain the.
We were talking about
story.
How we were talking about how you can't tell if a kicker's good under pressure just from watching him practice. So Fred came up with this great idea, which Andy got blamed for on the message boards, that they should kidnap the kicker's wife and hold a knife to their throat in the middle of the night. and tell the kicker, if you make the kick, we'll let her go. That was Fred's idea on how to see if the kicker could handle pressure. Which, you know, because that's the exact same thing as kicking a game-winning field goal in an NFL football game.
Which, similar.
You know,
similar.
As ridiculous as that whole premise was, it became even funnier about a month later when we happened to be looking at some of the fan message boards that we go on, and they completely blamed Andy for that.
That he should be fired.
He should be fired for saying that. Which, I don't get me wrong, I was all in favor
right.
of. And the number one thing Fred saw in the newbies, one, unlike Andy, they don't cry at weddings.
Aw, that was mean.
I wasn't there, but I'd have loved to have seen it.
I heard all about it.
Apparently Andy cried like a baby at his wedding.
You know, Mr. Super Duper Macho cried like a baby.
Who cries every night? I mean...
Who cries every night?
Andy. Mr. Super Macho.
What do you mean he cries every night?
I'm just saying, yes, he can cry.
You've got a crush on Andy, don't you?
You do.
I love him.
You do.
I think you do. I've picked up on a couple of signals. I picked up on a couple
Let's
of things.
Let's turn it over.
Tom, you heard it, Gary. I'm making the prediction right now. Lori has a crush on Andy.
Yeah, what can I say?
Didn't you
he's
hate
taller than me, and he's
great together. You're the only one.
No, he's not taller than me.
Not even close. Not a lot of people aren't taller than you. You're tall, though.
I am pretty tall.
I am pretty tall.
Hey. Listen,
not that I'm keeping track of that accent.
I'm going to guarantee right now that I won't cry at my wedding, but I will say this. ESPN, that SportsCenter's got to cut out those Make-A-Wish things that they're showing because I'm crying like a baby.
The Teddy Bruschi one is tonight.
The one they did...
I haven't seen any of those, but I'm still crying at that thing they did in the pre-Super Bowl thing.
Yeah.
On.
It's like that. They're doing like a Make-A-Wish thing where these kids, sick kids, can have a wish. Man... I'm crying like a baby every time I see it.
And I didn't cry at my wedding.
At all?
No.
Not even once?
Supposed to be happy. What are you crying for?
Exactly.
Plus, I'll be half cock by the time the wedding even kicks off.
It's a very happy day.
Anyway.
What?
Nothing. I think you should cry at your wedding.
Why?
Show how devoted you are.
I need to cry to show my wife that I'm
devoted? Show how devoted I am.
He's marrying her.
Yeah, I'm going to show. I said I'd be half cocked, not fully cocked.
Not enough.
I'll wait
until
after the
ring 6 years later? Jeez.
Right. Let's see what happens at your wedding.
We'll see.
I'm going to predict right now that Tom will not shed a tear.
I'm going to predict that he will.
All right.
When is the wedding?
You're on.
Next summer.
He's crying.
Should we open that up for debate? See what the listeners think?
Sure.
I don't want to do it if you're going to get offended or anything.
Go ahead.
You can raise it.
We want to change our wedding to a Friday to save money. So if you had to go to a wedding on July 6th, 2 days after the 4th, would you care? Like, would you be annoyed? Me and Paul wouldn't because we don't care about stuff like that. Of course, I called Andy Hart last night, and he said, you know, he'd be mad, blah, 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 because he has a big cookout on the 4th, and apparently it takes 2 days for him to...
Gary's a good guy to throw because Gary's a guy that gets into, you know, has a lot of parties. He still fancies himself as, you know, young and single and out, kind of out there and, you know, doing that kind of fun stuff. Gary, would that bother you if you had to go to a wedding a couple days before or a couple of days after the 4th of July?
I don't want to go to any kind of wedding.
Well, you don't want to go to a wedding, period, because you're too super cool for that, right?
They're boring. I'm out $150.
True.
All right, can you stick to the point here and offer me, you know, your opinion? If you have to go to a wedding, would it bother you more that it's at that time of year?
No.
No, I think I'd prefer the Friday night, too. Okay. Save your whole weekend.
Right.
See what I mean about him? You know, you can't infringe on his weekend, you know. He's out with the, you know, the young and single crowd. You know, Gary, face it, you're past 30. It's over.
Well,
it's over. Face it. It's over. Just because you're younger than me doesn't mean you're young.
It's not over, Gary.
He didn't cry at his wedding, but he's crying now.
It's over.
Paul, I think I came
to the realization a long time ago.
I came up with a perfect solution. I'll have the wedding July 6th and just not invite Andy Hart.
Well, that's a perfect solution for me. Eric
Scalvino's here.
You going to jump in?
Yeah, I'll jump in.
You guys share an office. You can share a microphone.
We share so much more than an office.
Oh, I really don't want to know
thoughts,
about that.
We share thoughts. We share feelings. She shares with me
you
when
cry
her birthday
in the office?
Is every single day.
Do you cry in your office?
He cries.
Oh, I... Yeah, I cry.
You're sensitive artist type.
Every time I hear, Eric! From the other room, a little tear starts to form in my eye.
All right. Eric works with Lori in the Patriots Today department.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling it a whole department.
We are a whole department. Department of two.
Today.
Yeah.
What's your official title? Would you be like producer, editor of Patriots Today? I mean, how would that go? What's your
I call my what's on my business card?
Chief innovator
is that's reserved for somebody else.
Okay.
Is multimedia producer, because I can do
multimedia
a variety of tasks. I can produce multiple things: print, broadcast. Podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gary, where's the horn? You were a little late on that.
Yes, exactly.
Eric is our resident kicking expert as well. We were giving you some pub
for
that.
Appreciate
Unlike Fred Kirsch, who claims to be an expert.
On kicking.
Right.
Yeah, I heard something about this the other day when we were doing the podcast, that Fred has some sort of
last year, Robbie Gould was in camp.
Yeah.
You know, obviously with no shot at all to make the roster, right, because we had Adam Vinatieri at the time. Mm-hmm. And Fred was telling me how good of a leg Robbie Gould had. And we were just kind of snickering and laughing at him, like, what is he talking about?
Of course, he does not.
We made a bet that he wouldn't make it an NFL roster last year. Well, lo and behold, he did.
It was the Bears, right?
Yeah, 17 guys got hurt, and he got a chance.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's
I feel like lightheaded.
So now he's our kicking expert.
Yeah, but to be honest, Eric, Fred lives in this place called Fantasyland, where he's the only one that has the key to that door. So,
well,
I'm going with you.
Let's talk about naked women.
The voice of Fred, I'm suddenly hearing from.
All right, Laura, you taking off? You going to get me something to eat?
I'm going to have lunch.
You going to McDonald's by any chance?
Never seen anyone get so excited about lunch in my life.
Oh, Lori?
She's sending out group emails. She's like running around the office.
Girls gotta eat.
Oh, she's apparently related to Ty Law. You gotta eat.
Gotta eat.
Everybody's gotta eat.
All right, Lori, thank you for dropping by.
Take care.
We get no Brian Lowe, though.
Good.
He blew us off bad.
We can do a bad impression of Brian.
Maybe
Lowe.
With Brian. Well, I mean,
it's 1 o'clock.
If you want me to come,
I got to do my job.
Have a show to do with, you know, Bob. You know, I got to be with Bob. But, I don't know. Maybe with Eric and B Lowe on the show at the same time. Too much ego.
Right.
Wow. How did I get labeled with ego?
You just heard the horns going off.
Well, all the different things you can do. Apparently, you were an All-American kicker at some college.
You asked what I wanted. I mean, you know, I rode a bull for 8 seconds. That was Tom Brady. Sorry.
Tom Brady rode a bull?
Well, that was the whole bit. Wasn't that on Saturday Night Live?
Oh,
he was on there and, like, everything he can do.
I don't watch that terrible show anymore.
I was just wondering how Fred would have felt about that if that was a
true
story.
I like your boobs.
Anyway, before we'll move on, we'll go to hit the phone lines. Or as Bill Burt would say on WEI, we'll go to the phone banks and hit Jamie in Houston. Jamie, you with us?
There he is.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Jamie, how are you?
Pretty good. Good to hear from you. Had to get my PFW fix in.
Yeah, and definitely needed something to get us back on the straight and narrow, because this show is running amok.
I like your boobs.
Hey, you know, that's all right. So I wanted to break in the noobs. What
the
happened? We got the web guy. We got the everything can do it guy. Did you get rid of Dave Dudek as well?
Dudek is long gone. Won't be seeing Dudek no more.
No more dude. So
Dave Dudek left the organization after the last Super Bowl. And
right.
Chris Ferreira is the new webmaster.
You can check him out at DaveDudek.com.
And that's not a joke. You can check him out at
DaveDudek.com.
Hello, this is Kermit the Frog, broadcasting from the Super Bowl.
That's it.
And listen, do yourself a favor. Go to DaveDudek.com.
Yeah.
Give us a call on our request line.
Not if he has the webcam, I won't.
Well, what's going on in Houston, Jamie?
I don't know, it's pretty quiet. We're not hearing a whole lot about much. They're actually talking more about Vince Young up in Tennessee than they are anything, you know, local here. It's kind of funny.
I saw Mario Williams as the cover boy for ESPN the magazine last week. Kind of died down a little bit, the uproar?
Yeah, we talked about that a little last time we were speaking. And, I mean, you don't hear much of it. You know, they scratched their heads for a couple of days and they've moved on. There isn't sports radio contingent down here that there is up in the Northeast. And we've just moved on. And, again, everybody's still talking about Vince Young, and that's what it is.
Well, let me ask you, Jamie. I probably asked you this before, but I don't have a very good memory. In Houston, you know, with the Cowboys being, you know, the most visible NFL franchise, it's won the most Super Bowls, been to the most Super Bowls, is there more Cowboy fans in Houston than Texans fans?
I think it's split. I think there's, a lot of the late 30, early 40 somethings, and beyond that are, you know, the old Dallas crew. You know, but there's, you know, the younger folks are more with the Texans.
So now, when T.O. takes them to the Super Bowl this year, will they be jumping ship like the Houston? Will the Texans fans jump ship back to the Cowboys?
I don't think so. I don't think so. You start out pretty, and the Texans fans that are here are pretty hardcore. You know, they haven't done anything in the 4 years that they've been rolling, and you still see a lot of bumper stickers and a lot of Texans stuff on the cars on the highway, and so they're pretty good fans. They're good, pretty good true color fans here in Houston, and you know, they pick their colors today, you know, and stay with it.
They got a chance to beat the Patriots this year?
I don't think so.
No chance. Okay.
I don't think so. I think it'd be an interesting game. I went and saw the Texans. Or the Patriots, their first game for down here in Houston when they played in Reliant, and the year they won Super Bowl 38, and you know, that was a heck of a game. Nobody thought the Texans would give them that close of a run, but so you never know. But no, you got to go with the Patriots in that game.
Yeah, you definitely have to change your cell phone ring as well, Jamie.
Yeah, I'll turn it off next time.
Anything else?
It's factory install. Hey, since we're talking about tangents and stuff,
sure.
I've picked
my
up
favorite
on
topic.
UFC, baby. You guys in Ultimate Fighting or not? I started watching it this spring, and I'm hooked. I was old school way back when in college when it first came out, and they've got it on a couple of network channels. And
you're a loser! I haven't really...
Hey, thank you, Gary.
I don't really watch a whole lot of it. I do know that... suddenly, the local papers, the Herald here has been running stories on a weekly basis, and all of a sudden, I think it was yesterday, the Globe had a huge feature on it, actually written by your friend and mine, Ron Borges.
Hey, how about that?
So the Ultimate Fighting, I don't know, I guess it's
if you like
taking
boxing,
on a whole new life.
If you like boxing, you should love UFC. I mean, it's just... it's very physical. It's you know, very violent. A lot of, you know, there can be blood. There can be knockouts at any time, and it's entertaining. You know, I get away from it, and a lot of people make the mistake of putting it in the same basket as wrestling. But it's got you know, pro wrestling and UFC, two different things. And yeah, you need to check it out. It's good stuff.
All right, Jamie. As usual, we appreciate the call.
All right, keep it going. Welcome, noobs. Keep it rolling. I guess Fred is
still
in the
UFC
army,
in
huh?
progress next week, Jamie.
What's that?
UFC in progress next week.
There we go. Hey, we'll could do it.
We'll check back with you.
All right, take care. Go Pats.
All right.
Yep, take it easy.
Let's hit back to some of these emails here, because I like to get to as many as we can when people are kind enough. Mm-hmm. And as an example of our worldwide presence, guys, Jacob is in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Ooh.
Is our next emailer here, and I know you thought I was lying when I told you that we have them all over the world, not just
Gary's England. Got some Copenhagen.
Don't interrupt his solitaire game.
Okay, sorry.
Hi, guys. I just read in Pro Football Weekly's The Way We Hear It that Patriots will eventually focus on giving Deion Branch a raise for 2006, where he is scheduled to make a mere $1 million. And then deal with the extension later on, just like in the Seymour case last year. Can you confirm that? I cannot confirm that.
And if you can't, I certainly can't.
Well, what does that mean?
It means you know way more than I do.
Well, that's true, but...
You're an editor. I'm a lowly staff writer.
Okay,
you get
But we haven't heard anything in regards, and we haven't read anything in regards to this situation getting resolved. I'm sure that there have been some conversations between Branch's representatives in the Patriots, but to be honest with you, I'm kind of skeptical of that. That kind of sounds to me like someone says, oh, they'll just do what they did last year
right.
at Seymour, and I'm not so sure they're going to do that.
Yeah, you got to watch with things like The Way We Hear It and things like that, because they kind of just assume things and put it out there in print. They didn't say they heard it, like who they heard it from or anything like that, so it could just be a rumor.
So I'm not going to shoot it down, but no, I haven't heard anything. And
but it is interesting
because
training camp is starting very soon, and everything is quiet on the Deion Branch front.
Much like it was a year ago with Richard, we didn't hear a thing, and then all of a sudden, camp started and he wasn't there. So we'll certainly keep our eyes and ears open. He says he listens to the show every week, and remembered that we were talking about Branch a couple of weeks ago. We said The Patriots would like to retain him, but not for the money he wants, which probably would be a ludicrous $35 to $40 million, including a $7 to $10 million signing bonus for 5 years. If that is the case, why would the Patriots even bother raising his salary for 2006? To me, it would be money down the drain. What do you think about that?
They got a ton of cap room. You keep him for one more year. Then if he's going to make all that money, let him go. Because then you got a year of Chad Jackson in your system. You got a year of Rashay Caldwell. Maybe they produce more than you think you do. Next year you go out, you bring someone else in. So every year is different. The thing the Patriots do so well is they go from year to year. You know, I know they're thinking of the future, but they're thinking about winning the Super Bowl this year. And they keep their options open for the future as well.
I think that is what they do as well as anybody is. Not only they focus on the current season, but they have a long-term view as well. And I think that you can do both. In this case with Branch, by giving him a slight raise right now, that might appease him for the short term, and may give you a better opportunity to sign him.
Mm-hmm.
Without giving up 35 to 40 million, maybe they played ball with me last year. I'll play ball with them this year. I'll give them the quote unquote hometown discount, and I'll stick around.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
We thought that might be the case with Adam Vinatieri too, but then.
Well, Adam's case, I think. There had been a little animosity that grew over the years because of the franchise thing. I think Adam wanted out, and I don't think that the team was willing to go anywhere near the level that it was going to take to get him back, because I just don't think they felt like the kicker position was worthy of going that high. Now
we'll find out if that was the right move or not.
Exactly. He's always got to come back. It always comes back to Denver for Kyle.
Yep.
Comes back to kicking for Eric. And Elizabeth just likes to nod.
There's just a lot of real life correlations between kicking and
kicking is a metaphor for life.
You said it very well.
It's just kind of like the natural. Losing is a disease. Anyway, don't tell me you didn't see The Natural.
I've seen it 100 times.
Okay. Well, you kind of looked at me like, what are you quoting?
I just wasn't sure where you were going with it.
Well,
apparently nowhere.
What do we always do with our movie lines? They go nowhere. Who ordered the code red? Hey, speaking of which, did you happen to catch on VH1 this week?
That's A Few Good Men, by the way.
At like 10 o'clock. Okay. Well, I'm getting to it. World Series of Pop Culture.
Oh, I wanted to watch
that. A game show about pop culture.
Yeah, I wanted.
It could be better.
I forgot all about it. I was going to watch that. Was it good?
It's all right. It's all right. It's not great. But the questions are answerable,
right?
For the most part, you should be able. Should be able to get more than half of them.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
And I guess it's a big tournament they're going to have, and they have these teams, the teams of three that play off against each other, and individually, when you lose, you go one on one against the other team's player, and if you lose, you're out. So it goes down to 3-on-2, and then.
Oh, all right.
We're gonna put a crew together from.
And there was a Code Red reference last night, which is how it gets back to A Few Good Men.
Nice.
Everything gets back
nice.
To A Few Good Men.
Good.
Don't give me that scoffing look.
What scoffing?
You got a scoffing. Does he have a scoffing?
He's over there. Mr. High Horse goes over. Yeah, it's A Few Good Men. Like, I've never seen the movie. Come on.
it was a delayed reaction.
He is pseudo intellect.
Yeah.
Pseudo.
I know the type because he went to BU and I went to BU.
Yeah, we're
so
we're
I know the type.
Terriers of the
A lot of people
color.
That went to BU like to fancy themselves as having gone to an Ivy League school. Nothing could be further from the truth, but they like to fancy themselves.
that was John Silber's thing when he was president. You remember that, right?
Absolutely.
Keep boosting the requirements for the undergrads to make it, keep trying to get them into the Ivy League. But the Ivy League was always like, we don't need you.
Yeah, all I know is you guys quit football.
The only correlation between BU and an Ivy League school is tuition.
Yeah.
And we're across the Charles from Harvard, too.
So no football team.
No football team anymore.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's move on. Ronald is next up. never mind about Ronald. Ty is next up. I am not sure. And this is actually from Ty, but not Ty Law. But it's about Ty Law. He says, I am sure that Law would be the best idea to help our secondary. It would most likely be better to let others. Oh, he says he's not sure that Law would be the best idea to help our secondary. I would most likely be better if we could have others such as Ellis Hobbs have a great season. I believe he will be a Pro Bowl caliber type this year starting at corner. I also have speculation on signing Law to to a long-term deal because his foot might come back and ache, sort of like Deion Sanders. Do you guys know how long of a contract he is looking for? Because if we do sign him, maybe it should be around a 3-year contract. Well, certainly, I'd be skeptical if he got a 3-year contract, but it certainly wouldn't be any longer than that under any circumstance.
And I've expressed the same things about Hobbs and the Deion Sanders thing, but let's be honest. Ty Law's here. Your team is better. End of story. On the football field, your team is better with Ty Law.
And, yeah, you can say that if you had Hobbs playing at a Pro Bowl caliber level, that might be better than signing Ty Law, but you have no guarantees that Ellis Hobbs is going to play at that level.
What if they're both playing at a Pro Bowl level opposite each other?
And even if Law isn't at a Pro Bowl level, he still would be a great nickel or dime back. You know, that's a lot better than most teams.
I really don't see, unless we know the Patriots aren't going to sign him if it's going to be if it's not going to be cost effective. So we can eliminate that. There's no downside. The only downside to signing Ty Law for anybody would be if you sign him to a ridiculously overpriced contract.
Right.
Because if you sign him for anywhere near quote unquote normal money, and I know we're talking fantasy world in athletics here, where we're talking normal money is like $2 million, $3 million, or whatever. You sign him for affordable dollars, and you're going to get a solid performance like you did last year.
And what you're talking about is a couple of years ago, he's the best cornerback in football. What's he now, fourth or fifth? You know what I mean? He's still one of the top cornerbacks in football. And the Patriots right now, I love Ellis Hobbs, but they don't have one of the top cornerbacks in football on their team. Now, can they win the Super Bowl without that? Sure, yeah. But your team is better with Ty Law on the field.
I agree.
But you guys don't see them taking him for very long just because he's getting so old.
He's getting up there in age. Yeah. I wouldn't see him getting more than a 2 or 3 year contract anywhere. I wouldn't see someone giving him more.
Now,
maybe someone gives him a 4 or 5 year deal, but it's all completely backloaded and they can cut him, But it would have to be a cap-friendly situation. It wouldn't be... like Richard Seymour's extension, where he got a 5-year extension, but he's going to see every dime of that.
Right.
And and Ty may be looking for a front-loaded deal if it's that long, too, because he knows he's probably not going to last that long. So,
So let's go to Jennifer is in Illinois. And, Jen came back last week, Gary. Another one who nods.
Well, he's got...
Yes.
To be fair to Gary, he does have a mouthful of spit.
But I'm just glad that Jen's back. I was wondering where she's been, and I was glad that to see some of her emails last week when I was going through the web radio folder. Anyway, should we assume that since Law is working out in the St. Louis area that he's getting closer to signing with Kansas City? I wouldn't make that assumption. He always works out in the St. Louis area with Bob Kersey.
And apparently Law's like Bigfoot. He's seen all over the place. He's seen in the Boston area. He's seen in the St. Louis area.
Jen is right, though, that he has been. I guess there was a story in a Kansas City paper today about him, and the joke on Pro Football Talk was, it's time. It's that time of year. It's mid-July. It's time for the Ty Law looks great and is working out and looking great stories because the Poston's PR machine is, I'm sure, in full effect.
I think he'll sign with Kansas City if they give him a lot of money. No matter where he's working out. I think he'll sign with Baltimore if they give him a lot of money. I think someone's got to give him a lot of money. And until then, he's not going to sign with anybody.
And as usual, Jen brings some substance to the table here as well, because I actually I had this on my calendar and I forgot about it. With the supplemental draft today, I wouldn't mind getting Ahmad Brooks, but in the second round, and I'm not sure he'll be around by then, I would love to see him in a patch uniform. That would be some good depth at linebacker. So we'll have to keep our eyes out on that.
I will give you a personal guarantee that he will be there in the second round. And I'll give you another one that says the Patriots won't take him in the second round.
Yeah, I don't know about the latter, but I would agree with the former. I don't see anybody using a first round
pick. I just don't see him. I mean, third, just going by supplemental draft history, you very rarely get a first or second round people using draft picks on that. This is a guy that got kicked off the team. He was overweight. I just think a second round pick is way too high to use on him. Third or anything below that, fine, but first two rounds, no way.
For the first time in my life, I am a huge Kurt Warner fan. I hope he returns to his NFL MVP form and keeps that overrated guy they call a quarterback on the bench. Matt Leinart. Why can't Matt Leinart play, Tom?
He doesn't have arm strength.
Which arm does he throw with?
Which arm does he throw with?
His left.
Left.
Therefore, he can't be a good NFL quarterback. Come on. Keep up.
I don't know. I thought Steve Young was in the Hall of Fame. I must have missed that boat.
Overrated.
But he's in the Hall of Fame.
Me and Belichick are like this on that. Of course, what I really want to see is Lionheart go out there and fall flat on his face. But, hey, that's the kind of girl I am.
Judging
that's,
by that
oh, sorry, gal.
Gal
I am. And that's Jen in Illinois. Wow, I didn't realize that Jen hated Matt
I was going to say, what's the hatred
yeah,
for Matt Leinart?
Yeah, where's that stem from?
I don't know, but I'm sure she'll check back in. She's a huge Michigan fan. USC didn't play Michigan.
They beat them 2 years ago in the bowl game. Mike Williams.
Don't remember that.
Yeah, they played them in the bowl game.
Shouldn't be reason enough to hate a person.
I'm just saying maybe something stemmed from that. They played Michigan in the bowl game.
I remember Michigan playing Texas in that
it was definitely,
bowl game.
They definitely played USC. It was Mike Williams versus Braylon Edwards.
All right, there you go. Oh, another international email here. Craig is in Newcastle, England. And judging by what you have seen so far by Chad Jackson, which past or present NFL receiver do you see him playing like?
Kind of reminds me a little bit of a faster Eric Moulds. Kind of that body type where, he's got that frame where he can get some position on you. Because, I mean, Moulds could get deep back in the day. He had the unfortunate situation where he never really played with a lot of great quarterbacks. If you put Moulds on the Colts during his time, he would probably have put up a lot bigger numbers. I see him as that kind of receiver.
You know, numbers kind of like in 2002 when he had a great quarterback throwing
him. Exactly.
Oh, there you go. I was just checking. That's it? Eric Moulds?
I don't know. I kind of, that was when I was watching him.
That's a good one. I wish you came up with someone I completely disagreed with so we could have good radio, but I kind of agree with you. Moulds makes some sense. I like what I was impressed with Chad Jackson. And I'm not going to necessarily come up with a guy that I compare him to, but I was with his hand strength.
Yeah,
it seemed like
he catches the ball in
very strongly.
Yes,
I mean it kind of sounds funny to say a wide receiver is catching the ball with his hands.
A lot of them
different,
don't,
but
a lot of them let it fall to their chest.
But I know what Paul's talking about, it was the way he attacks the ball. He catches it different than like Bam Childress catches it.
Like, and a lot of guys catch the ball with their hands, but they just have soft hands and the ball kind of cradles. He seems
goes
to like
after it,
really attack the ball and brings it in with a lot of strength.
And you hear that sound.
And I could see him being a good, aggressive, over-the-middle kind of guy. Now, I also think they're going to use him on some deeper routes, probably more so than Florida did with Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
I would hope that they do anyway. I'm intrigued by Chad Jackson. I liked what I saw.
He looks like the real deal, definitely.
All right, let's get Brian in Seattle, G, before we take another break. He says, hello from the passive-aggressive Pacific Northwest. Was that another shot reference from last week?
Well, you know I don't like Seattle for obvious reasons. John Condo or whatever his name is that... Remember the guy who...
No. Mike Sando.
Mike Sando.
Oh, maybe that's what it's in reference to, the passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you did there. What do you foresee to be the biggest change from an Eric Mangini to a Dean Pease coordinated defense? And he's a Patriots fan transplant, by the way.
I always feel like it's Bill Belichick's defense. I've said this before. It's kind of like being Bill Walsh's offensive coordinator. You have input, but... Like last year when the defense was struggling and there were reports that Belichick kind of took things over, I believe that. If there's problems with that defense, Belichick is moving right in and taking over. And so I think Dean Pease will do a good job, but ultimately these are Belichick's schemes, his system, and it's going to be, pretty much what you've been seeing for years, I think.
I sort of agree with that. I felt that Pease had more of a presence on the field than Mangini did. Now, that might just be personality, and nothing more, but it seemed to me that Pease had more of a hold over the players during this minicamp than I saw at any time on the field from Mangini last year. And
you would be the only one here that would be able to know that because you weren't there.
Because by the time you came aboard, Mangini, we were kind of shut out of practice. But Mangini was, like I said, it might just be more of a personality thing. Mangini is much quieter and is a soft-spoken guy.
He's smart. He's really smart.
But I got the impression that Pease was very comfortable in his
role. But I love Bill Belichick.
And I didn't get that impression last year with Mangini.
Well,
and
it could also be that,
Mangini's substantially younger than Pease.
Well, that's my, yeah, that's, you know, part of my point.
So you guys are saying the Jets made a huge mistake. Well, what I'm gathering.
Well, I think that, but that's not necessarily for this reason. I also think, and I've said this at when minicamp, when our minicamp wrap up, I feel that if Dean Pease had been around the Patriots for, say, 3 years, last year, when Romeo Crennel left, that Dean Pease may have gotten the defensive coordinator job over Eric Mangini. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that he had only been here for 1 year and was still kind of new gave Mangini a big leg up in that over him. Again, I have nothing to base that on, but pure opinion.
And, you know, the Jets, it might not be a mistake, but it certainly is a huge gamble that the Jets are taking on someone that young. I mean,
I'm excited to be a head coach.
I'm sure he is. But, you know, it's very rare that you get a guy like a coach in Tampa that whose name is escaping me at the
Gruden.
Moment. Gruden? Yeah, who was hired at a young age as well. And he's had some success. I mean, obviously he won a Super Bowl. You know, is Mangini going to be that kind of coach, or is he going to be...
You always get the feeling that the Jets are trying to make up for the Belichick. Like, they're, you know, they had Belichick, then lost him,
right.
And they're kind of trying to make up for that by installing the same a similar system with a guy who coached under Belichick. It'll be interesting to see how he does there.
No, I agree with you, and now you're starting to see more and more situations where players are getting plucked off the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches are getting plucked off the roster. The Patriots' presence is now being spread. You know, and we've wondered for a couple of years now, why hasn't this happened more often, this copycat approach? Why haven't teams tried to emulate what the Patriots do in their model of success? And I think that you're starting to see more of that.
So you're wondering why San Francisco hired Dennis Erickson and the Raiders hired North Turner when Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss were assistants?
Without question.
Ridiculous.
Without
they should
question.
Be ashamed of themselves, and that's why they're picking at the top of the draft.
Now. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
And the one good thing on Mangini's side is all the coaches so far that have come from Belichick have all been having a great deal of success. So,
well, I think a part of it has to do too with, you know, the Patriots had won their first Super Bowl, and you know a lot of teams had won one Super Bowl. You know, you don't see teams raiding the Ravens. Or the St. Louis Rams organization. So it took the Patriots to get three Super Bowls before teams finally said, oh, okay, this team really does.
They waited too long.
Man,
the Cowboys used to get killed by that. The Ravens lost Marvin Lewis. San Francisco went through. Teams waited too long.
The Bill Walsh coaching tree is enormous.
Yeah.
You know, Holmgren and Shanahan and Pete Carroll. I mean, this George Seifert.
Especially if you go and look at the coaches that were hired during that couple-year period. I mean, these retreads and... You know, give someone – these guys are coordinators on a championship team. Very few teams have had the same coordinators through that kind of stretch like the Patriots did.
Right. And, you know, the Cowboys, you know, as Tom said, with Norb Turner and Wanstead and, you know, all those guys, it generally happens quicker than it happened here. But it's happened now, and we'll see, you know, what the results are. I personally think that Crennel is doing a great job, and I'll reserve judgment on Mangini. I'm a little more leery of him right now because I just don't think he's quite ready. Not that I don't think he's a good football coach, I just don't think he's ready yet. And I wonder what kind of hold he'll have over that team as such a young guy.
It'd be one thing if he was, like, say, in Arizona and wasn't ready and he could grow into it, but to be in New York and not be ready, that's not a good situation.
All right, we're going to have more emails here. webradio@patriots.com. Keep them coming. We see four or five more lined up. And keep them coming in. If you want to give us a call, 508-543-7482. And we'll be back for the home stretch in just a minute.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Touchdown! Tom Brady watches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Wednesday, July 19th at 7:30, the Fields of Athenry come to Gillette Stadium with the boys from Scotland. Welcome the newly crowned Scottish Premier League title holder Celtic Football Club as they face off against your New England Revolution. The World Cup might be over, but the World's Game heats up in Foxborough as Celtic stars Aidan McGeady and Sean Maloney go up against Taylor Twellman.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman!
Clint Dempsey.
Diving header by Dempsey!
Matt Reese.
Great save by Matt Reese!
And the rest of the Reds. Don't miss Celtic Football Club's first appearance in the Boston area in 30 years as they prepare for the upcoming UEFA Champions League season. Tickets are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS to find out about special group discounts and free parking. This is a match you won't want to miss. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your tickets now.
And that's full time! The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Revs!
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
Gillette Stadium explodes!
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REV. Or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
Back here on PFW in Progress, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, Eric Scalavino with you right now. The newbies taking a quick break. They'll be back momentarily, but about 15
Jeez,
minutes
I
to
got
go
a
here.
Leak so bad I can taste it.
Oh wow! The emails are coming in, and they can continue to come in. We can get to some of those here. We got about 15 minutes to
it's
go.
Time.
That basically, this is just the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
You got training camp is what 2.5 weeks away at this point. Most of us here in Patriots.com, PFW land, are much more concerned about the Friday bash at Fred's.
Oh, yeah.
I know I am.
Be my first one. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm not. Gary wasn't invited.
Gary. Don't take your ball and go home. Can't do that. If you have to work, you have to work, but there's clearly an oversight.
It is what it is. I don't know. Fred made a lot of oversights. It seems like everyone that's approached him saying, I wasn't invited, he's claiming was an oversight.
Well, maybe they're oversights because they were invited in the past and failed to show.
Or he doesn't want them at his house.
Or you.
Gary usually goes, though, if he can. You know, if he's not, like, in Hawaii.
I'm sure Gary was invited.
I've never been there.
You've never been?
No, maybe
You've
wasn't.
Been invited.
Once.
When?
98, maybe.
98. Did you go? I wasn't working here then.
90.
He's such
I had to work.
Well.
Maybe he knows you have to work.
But yeah, what's the etiquette, though? Even if you know someone can't show up to something, don't you still make the effort to...
All the more reason to. You look like a good guy, and you don't have to have that kid at your house.
That's a good point.
Mm.
Well, maybe Fred isn't a good guy. I don't know what to tell you.
Or maybe he doesn't want to risk looking like a phony, thinking, oh, he knows he's not going to be able to come, so why, you know...
Therefore, the Jared Puffer...
Yeah.
...move.
Oh,
invite,
yeah.
And just invite everybody to your wedding, knowing that no one's going to go to Ohio in the middle of the summer for his wedding. Right?
I didn't get an invitation, so.
If I did, I certainly wouldn't have given him a gift.
Yeah. I get stuck with it.
I'd have just said no.
You got the invite,
I got stuck with the invite.
Yeah, and you had to say, you had to politely decline.
Well, yeah, I did politely decline, but now I have to give him a gift, and, you know.
You feel obligated to give him a
feel
gift?
Feel obligated. I wonder
really?
If I get married, I'm inviting Mr. Kraft.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get back to the emails here. Let's see. Anthony is in Boynton Beach, Florida. How far is that?
Right south of West Palm Beach.
There you go. All right. How many wins do you guys think the Patriots will have in 2006, and when do you plan on bringing back Patriots video news to Patriots.com?
I don't know.
I'll answer the latter first. Never. Patriots video news is now available on Comcast only on the on-demand feature on Comcast, and that's been replaced on Patriots.com by
Patriots Today. That's why we're here.
And that's why Eric is with us today. He's talking about that. We'll have shows Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays during the season,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Correct.
And every day during training camp. Every day there's a practice.
Every day, yeah. Every day there's some sort of activity with the team that we're allowed to be in on. There'll be a show.
All right, let's go around the room here. How many wins do you think the Patriots will have in 2006? Kyle. Sadie.
I hope we do better. I think we can do better than last year. Maybe.
We. Look at him. He's already dropping the wheeze.
So the Broncos.
We know he's a Bronco fan.
So the Broncos are going to have how many wins?
Uh-huh.
The Broncos have Maurice Claret now, so.
No, they don't. He's not there anymore.
He's not?
He's in some crazy little league. They just signed him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Some secondary arena league.
I mean, really, he's in a donut shop, but.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like to be in a donut shop right now. I'm hungry.
I thought he was going
to
be there.
How many wins for the Patriots?
12.
Tom.
He took my answer. I'll say 11.
I have them at 14-2.
13.
I'm going to go with 13 as well.
Playing the role of Fred Kirsch.
No, the role of Fred Kirsch would have been 16. I mean, let's call it what it is. I just think that the schedule is weak. The division is beyond weak. I think
except for Miami. Miami might pose
I think they have five cupcake wins. How does that sound?
Yeah,
I think they go 5-1 in the division.
But Miami. I mean, Miami's kind of a question mark. There's no denying that Saban can coach. He's proven it everywhere he's
gone.
That's
not a question mark.
So,
I agree with you.
The question mark to me, and that's even if he's healthy, is Dante Culpepper, because the years he hasn't been able to throw the ball up to Chris Carter or Randy Moss, he has not been effective.
Yeah, and
so,
now Chris Chambers might be that kind of a receiver. I don't know,
but. You know, if things fall into place for the Dolphins, and there's some ifs, but with a good coach, a lot of things can happen. So I think you have to at least give Miami a little bit of credit. Now, the other two teams are absolute garbage. So there's 4 wins. And like you said, they'll most likely at least split with the Dolphins. So there's your 5-1.
5-1, I think that there's no one that really has a chance to knock them off in the AFC East. And when you play that, you know that you get that in hand. I think that the whole question... And I know that Pittsburgh dispelled this last year because, you know, they were the 6th seed and they went all the way and won it all. But I just think it makes it so difficult to get to the Super Bowl when you don't have the bye and win the Super Bowl mm-hmm. without that bye. I think it's the biggest advantage in all of sports is the one of those top 2 seeds. So I think that's the whole thing that you wonder about. Can they get one of those top 2 seeds? They don't need the top one, just 1 or 2. That's it.
And don't forget they play that garbage NFC North division, too.
Yeah. And yeah.
So you'd have to figure around.
I like that division, I thought.
The NFC North with Minnesota.
Oh, no. I'm thinking the AFC North.
So you're looking at
Bears, Lions.
Maybe a 3-1 there. So we're already up to 8-2. So I'll go 12. 12-4.
I'm going 13-3.
Who are your losses?
The Bengals. The Bengals, the Vikings.
The Vikings?
You're what?
In Minnesota, tough
no
place to play.
Chance.
Oh, come on.
No chance. Vikings going to be one of the 5 worst teams in football.
I'll give you Miami.
Giving me no chance in Minnesota. They got one of the best home winning percentages in the last 10 years. They got no chance.
I'm
going to say they have no chance of beating the Patriots.
I'm not afraid of Minnesota.
You know what? I'll go double or nothing on the bet that you owe me.
All right.
On the Cleveland Indians finishing ahead of Detroit. We'll call that over now.
I called it over 2 days after I made the bet. You're the only one still following it.
Because if there's something that could happen bad in a bet for me, it will. So I'm assuming that, you know, like Kenny Rogers, Jeremy Bonderman, and that guy Verlander will all die before the end of the season. And they'll have no starting pitching left.
All right. Well, yeah. We'll
the last I checked, the Tigers had like an 18.5 game lead over Cleveland.
Right. Although we are doing my most hated thing, trying to predict wins and losses. There's upsets. There's all kinds of things that can go on in the NFL. So
okay, so I'll give you the upset. Minnesota will
be. that's one of my upsets. I don't think Minnesota's is nearly as good as the Patriots.
Definitely a team that you wouldn't expect. I mean, look, 14-2, the Patriots go down to 2-13, Miami, and lose.
Right.
You know, it can happen. I'll say at Miami will be a loss just because it's such a house of horrors for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have it's like 10-31 or whatever.
It's horrible.
So I'll give that as one of them. I'll say the Colts will beat them.
Oh, that's a home game. That's a rematch from last year. You think
it was at home last year.
That's what I mean. You think they're going to go 2 years in a row?
It was the game last year. They lost 3 games at home last year.
The question I have about the Patriots.
To the Colts.
Yeah, why not?
Because the question I have about the Patriots is, can they match up with teams like the Colts and the Bengals, teams that have that high-powered passing attack? That's still the biggest question.
If two games were on the road, I would say that I would put them down penciled. Like Tom says, it's foolish to do it.
Is Cincinnati on the road?
If both of the games were on the road, I'm saying that I would put them both down for losses. I'm going to say they're going to split those two games. And I also, you know, despite all the reports that are out about, you know, who's ahead of schedule rehab-wise, I'll believe it when I see it, when Dante Culpepper is on the field in September.
Carson Palmer.
And Carson Palmer's on the field in September. Now, if they are out there and they're ready to go and they're 100%, I agree with Tom. I think Cincinnati will be a very, very tough game.
Oh, of course.
Cincinnati. I don't think Carson Palmer will be ready, and therefore, I think the Patriots will probably win that game. Now, if they played that game in the middle of November, I might think differently, but that's an early game. That's in the first 6 weeks, right?
Yeah, the first 4 weeks.
Week three or four, I think.
You one of those guys that memorizes the schedule?
Memorize, but I have a fair knowledge.
I need those guys because I never remember.
I'm pretty decent. I know we've got Cincinnati.
Gary, you got a prediction for wins? Prediction for the Fight Clubber?
12-4.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with. Okay. 12-4, second seed in the AFC.
Who will be the first seed?
I don't know.
Okay. All right, Jeremy in Newmarket, New Hampshire, says, Tom, no, I wouldn't be annoyed about going to a wedding on the 5th, so long as I'm family. If I'm not family, I wouldn't go. The Andy Hart theory.
Yep.
All right, as much as it's fun to drink, please don't mess up your wedding day/night by getting half-cocked, as you said. You want to remember, getting married is a lifelong commitment.
Right, so I'll have
fully cooked.
I'll have the rest of my life to remember it. At my wedding, they're going to be carrying me out, carting me out in a wheelbarrow.
Who brought the wet blanket to the party?
I don't know.
Lifelong commitment.
Who doesn't get drunk at their wedding?
Well, I didn't get drunk.
Well, I'm not going to go around shaking people's hands and all that crap.
One time, Paul didn't get drunk.
I'm just going to go on the microphone and say thanks for coming. If you don't really know me, you probably shouldn't be here. I'm going to go hit the keg.
You have a keg at your wedding?
Dude, I might do keg stands. You never know with me. I might snort Jägermeister up my nose. I'm all over the place.
Tom's wedding is going to be very low-key. He's predicting a good time had by all.
Mm-hmm. When is the blessed event?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. It's next summer at some point.
Still not narrowing it down?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be this summer, but Fred, you know, made him move all the way.
Friday night next summer.
Uh-huh. From Johnstown.
And it's a Friday. You want
to put a crimp
Friday
in the finances.
That's what the switch is. It was Saturday, but we're saving money moving it to Friday. Because Fred doesn't pay me all that well, you know, so I have to take on, like, extra odd jobs and try to save up money.
To which, you know, Tom brings up this whole thing about the 29th, a couple of days before, or the 6th, a couple of days after the 4th. So I broached this subject to the lovely Elizabeth at home last night. Mm-hmm. Not you, Elizabeth.
Oh, okay.
My lovely Elizabeth.
Ah.
And she says to me,
no offense.
Yeah. Well, I didn't suggest that she wasn't a lovely Elizabeth. I said my lovely Elizabeth. And so I go through this whole scenario, and she comes back with me as a typical, you know, woman response. Well, why not maybe do like the Sunday before Memorial Day and save even more money because it's even cheaper on a Sunday than it would be on a Friday? To which I said, that wasn't one of the options.
Yeah.
As always, answering another question from the one I'm asking.
Creating many new questions.
And then she just gives you that look, you know, like cute as a button look. You know.
So you let it go.
You're not really helping.
No.
Tom asked for your help.
If it's the Friday, like right before 4th of July, is this like sort of in the area?
29th or the 6th.
It'll be June 29th or July 6th.
You know, if you're going to have people go away, and where do you want it? Where is it going to be?
It's in New York.
In New York. So people would have to travel? Potentially?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have people traveling, and it's a holiday weekend. You'd have to get non-family members and non-really close, tight friends, you'd have to make it like an entire weekend holiday event at like a beach club or something to make it worth their while.
For and what? For what?
I disagree.
Yeah, I think you guys are putting way too much emphasis on the 4th of July. People go to a friend's house, they drink beer, they eat hot dogs, and they go home.
That's what I do on July.
For some reason, people have got this idea that on the 4th of July, people are traveling all over the country. I just don't get that.
Well, that's the idea. Like, that's the reality of what actually happens. But in people's minds beforehand, they think, it's the 4th of July, it's going to be a holiday.
But are you saying before or after?
if it's anywhere around the 4th of July...
Because if it's the 29th, 4th of July, that's Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's a Friday before Wednesday. Yeah. I'm going with Kramerica. 29th. Everyone's invited. If Corey Dillon... I'll tell you what. If Corey Dillon rushes for 1,500 yards, anyone who listens to this show is invited to my wedding. Just email me.
Round them all up. They're all in. All right, Jeremy also wants to hear the new webmaster, Chris Ferreira, do an impression. Maybe the Muppets or anyone. So we'll get Chris on that. I know Chris is listening right now as he's set to archive. So, and Chris, he writes your name down as Pereira, but we'll correct
this. Is Timothy
Ferreira with an F.
From the Super Bowl.
That's it?
That's it. Greatest line ever by Fred. That's it. He was, like, pubbing this impersonation of Kermit the Frog for, like, 20 minutes. Couldn't wait to get on the radio and do it. And it sounded exactly like Dave Dudek saying he was Kermit the Frog.
Flat on his face with it.
It would be like me saying, here's my impression of Eric Scalavino. Mm-hmm. This is my impression of Eric Scalavino.
A live event is coming up, so
Alex
stay tuned.
Alex is in Somerville. He says, I've been thinking about the Patriots' personnel decisions this past offseason, and I've come to the conclusion that BB and SP, it's Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli.
Yeah, he's tight with them now.
Are building a team that looks to use more power formations on offense. A few questions. Do you think it's possible?
Is it possible
to have a team be able to successfully run against 9 and 10 men consistently on the line or in the box?
What?
Is it possible to have a team be able to successfully run against 9 and 10 men consistently in the box?
Are you asking if you can run successfully on a goal line defense the entire game? Because I'm confused. Is what I'm. It's you see, I mean, instead of 8 men in the box, 9 and 10.
Yeah.
No,
I would
you
say
can't
no.
Run, no. No. No way.
It's like Bill always says. And, you know, when you're tight with the coach, you can just say Bill.
Bill, yeah.
He always says, no matter how good you are at any one thing, you can always stop that one thing.
Right.
Right.
You know, the greatest passing offense in the world, if you just decide, I'm going to take this away.
And there's
you know, Jerry Rice in his prime with Joe Montana, I'm going to take Jerry Rice away. You can do it.
Yeah.
But you leave yourself susceptible
of course.
To a lot of other
Roger
things.
Craig.
Well, a 9 or a 10-man defensive alignment in the box is taking away the run. You can't run on
right.
You're giving up the pass big time, though.
Right, but you leave yourself open to the pass. That's why teams don't do that unless it's a goal line situation, mm-hmm. like Tom said. Do you think that they are doing this in response to the faster and smaller defensive ends and linebackers that can be worn down by rotating offensive linemen, tight ends, and running backs? They did rotate the offensive linemen a little bit early in the season last year. What's more important on the offensive line, continuity or fresh legs?
Well, you know my theory on this. I think
yeah,
Belichick...
And I agree with it.
The Joe Gibbs? That's
well, I thought you were going with the continuity and... go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think Belichick is a student of the game, and I think he watches everything that goes on. And I think one of the reasons he's bringing in guys like Garrett Mills is because he's seen what Chris Cooley's doing in Washington as an H-back with absolutely no quarterback play at all. And he's thinking to himself, if we get stuff like this going with Tom Brady as our quarterback, we can have a lot of different options and things in the offense. Parcells is doing the same thing in Dallas. So I think...
With a great quarterback.
Right. And I think things in the NFL come back all the time, and with Gibbs coming back, I think he brought some of his old formations, and I think Belichick probably caught some of this, and that's where this is going. And I fully expect to see a lot of H-back formations. Like we were talking a couple of days ago, me and Paul, that you might see a lot of one-back formations with no fullback at all and things like that, and I think that's what you can expect this season.
Yeah, and I think that what Tom's getting at here, and I agree with, is that I don't think it's necessarily power formations they're putting together. Just because they're using multiple tight ends, I don't think that something with David Thomas included in it, for example, is a power formation.
Right.
Both Mills and Thomas were small tight ends at the college level.
Right, receiving tight ends.
Yeah.
Right.
They were receiving first. And, even Watson, who's big, I don't think is necessarily known as a power blocker.
No.
I think he's an adequate blocker.
I think he'd be a Tony Gonzalez, a guy who can block, but
he's going to make his money catching the ball and making athletic plays in the secondary like he did against Jacksonville in the playoffs. He finishes up by saying, I feel like the Patriots are going more toward a Steeler style rather than a Colt style of play. I wouldn't necessarily call them either one of those teams. Is it a good strategy for a team that has a quarterback like Brady? Do you think that he would be happy with only 20 passes a game as long as it leads to winning? Well, he did it for a whole year in 2001. He won a Super Bowl doing
right.
that. From what I have seen of Brady the last few years, I think that as long as there are W's, there would be no issue. I would agree with that. I don't think Brady cares how they win.
Yeah. He says
Not
that every week, too.
Yeah, a lot of guys say that.
Yeah.
But
well, but I mean,
not
he,
a lot of
he
guys
actually
believe
means
it.
It.
I think
you
Brady,
can tell
believes
Brady means it.
Yeah. We'll finish up here with Jen's email because Jen's my favorite emailer. Never minded SC much, even though they hold the Rose Bowl advantage over us 5-2, until that overrated guy named Palmer started getting hyped, and then the whole national championship crap. They did not win back-to-back national championships. They won one AP national championship and one real national championship. The NCs get a crystal football now. How many does SC have? Last time I checked, they only had one. One. And for the record, Mike Williams wasn't who killed Michigan. It was Kerry Colbert.
No, I know. I just said it was Mike Williams versus Braylon Edwards.
Yeah, no, I know.
The
score was
35-21.
The guy was catching everything. The one-handed grab as he was falling to the ground in the end zone in, like, triple coverage. Never liked Mike Williams. Thought he was way overhyped. Just like Palmer.
Catch a touchdown pass in that game.
Just like Palmer and Lionheart and Bush. Can't stand SC and their overhyped, overrated program and players. I would love to be able to play in the Pac-10. Man, must be great to play against all those subpar teams out there. You know, unlike having to go up against the Iron like Northwestern and Illinois and
just,
Indiana.
Just for
week.
The record, USC has many national championships. Maybe they don't have that crystal ball that they give out now, but they have many national champions. And am I to believe she thinks Carson Palmer is overrated? Because I'm pretty sure he had a solid year last year.
I think that what Jen is talking about is in college, early in his career, he was supposed to be the next great thing, and it never seemed like it was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, his senior year...
That's what happens when Paul Hackett's your head coach.
He was great his senior year, and then he turned out to be, obviously, a terrific pro. So, good time to... pull a plug on this one, thankfully.
Well, not overrated like Drew Henson.
Wow. That's going to get Jen's eye.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't like Drew Henson. You know that.
Good. I didn't know because
okay.
He sucks.
She actually never liked Drew Henson.
Good.
Because she loved Brady from the start.
Good. I like Jen.
Jen's solid.
Yeah.
All right. That's enough for today. Next week, next Wednesday, we'll be back. PFW in progress. Will that be our last one before training camp starts? I believe
training camp starts in 2 weeks. So.
I believe it will be the last one. So
for the two of you that care, Andy Hart will return next week.
Yeah, absolutely. He should be back. So the newbies and Eric and Tom and Lori and Gary and Paul will see you all next week.
Freaks were in a circus tent. Watch the Dodgers win.
Have you tell my dandy day
that course you wonder often.
Hair was short and skirts were long. Kate Smith really sung that song.
I don't know just what went wrong. Those were the days.